Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. All righty then. Get it on. Def Rat Guy. In tonight. In today.
Yeah, a little bender?
Who, me or Def Rat Guy?
You just called it tonight.
Yeah, it's a force of habit. I did 11 years of nighttime radio, and I haven't gotten that
out
of it.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on at night. People don't listen to the radio at night, I found out. Especially the Corollas. Well, evidently they're not big morning listeners either. But eventually I'll get shifted to that afternoon drive time slot and see if I can't reel in the family.
Don't get your hopes up.
All right. It could be a while. That's right. Anyway, Def Rat Guy in also Bill Rancic. Bill Rancic is the original apprentice, the good-looking guy who won the first season when everyone was watching. And I still watch the show religiously, by the way, so I have plenty to talk to him about. But it's weird. There's been many apprentices who have won since. He seems to be the go-to guy. They don't use the other apprentices. He's good-looking. He's camera-friendly, and he seems to be very competent. The other ones, hard to tell what happened to them, but we'll ask him that. We have a baby names expert because I got babies on the way. We're going to play a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about. A few things. As you know, I have a beef with public service announcements in general, partially because they're too generalized. They used to be real specific. One time when I was really high and up really late, I saw, I think it was Leslie Nielsen, but it could have been someone like George Peppard, do a water skiing and boating safety tip one. I didn't live in a lakefront community. I was living in North Hollywood. It was just 4 a.m., and we thought maybe George Peppard should tell us about water skiing safety. They were very specific, the public service announcement.
Useful.
And always a little confusing, especially when you're high, because you have to think, what does George Peppard have to do with water skiing safety if, in fact, he played the head instructor in a series called Ski School circa 1978, then it makes perfect sense, because all you have to do is have one season under your belt as something, and you can become the official spokesperson for whatever the topic is. But to the best of my knowledge, George Peppard had no logical correlation, no connection to water skiing, but still, it was very specific. Hold the flag up, do this, never ski with booze, always have three people, always have the flagman, all this kind of stuff. Now they've gotten much more general. You know, hey, talk to your kids. Pretty soon they're just going to be, Donald Trump's going to get up there and go, hey, knock it off. And he's going to turn around.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
90% of them are around smoking or secondhand smoke, which is great because here's why you don't need to deliver the message of smoking or secondhand smoke anymore. If you talk to most third graders and ask them about smoking, they'll tell you one pack, one cigarette could kill you. They've been so brainwashed now. And, you know, the thing about kids is they don't really have a context. I mean, they don't know numbers. If you're a kid and you're watching the news and you see there's a serial killer at loose. He's at large. He's on the loose. He breaks into people's houses at night and kills children. Well, you think there's a 50-50 chance of you being killed by this guy. That's, even if the guy's in Omaha, that's the way you think. So as a kids have been hammered so hard with smoking. You know, if you take a 7 or 8 or 10 year old, they don't know a world that wasn't hammered about smoking. So you ask your average third grader, hey, what do you think of cigarettes? They'll tell you, look, you could smoke a pack, maybe two, and then you'll die. So who's the message at? Who on this planet, who in this society needs to know about cigarettes and the ills that cigarettes cause? And then the secondhand smoke stuff is just a bunch of cooked numbers that the tree huggers and the crazy mayors in certain municipalities have kicked up thinking Dana Reeves died of secondhand lung cancer from secondhand smoke. It's just crazy, delusional non-science. Oh, right out there with the Christian right in terms of the earth, you know, still cooling because it's only 2,000 years old. Pseudo-retarded science, but that's all we have. We have the general, talk to your kids, and then the other one, which is don't smoke. Those are the only two we've narrowed it down to. I was watching another horrible. And the reason I'm angry about it is because we have millions of dollars that we use toward these things, and they monopolize very valuable chunks of time, oftentimes on primetime network real estate, and yet we do nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody says, look, you can put a billboard up by the side of the freeway. This, oh, not by just this freeway, millions of freeways, and it's going to be 32 by 48, and 10,000 cars will pass during rush hour every single afternoon. What do you want to put on it? How about we just put a big question mark on it? Mm-hmm. How about we just put one that says talk to your kids or secondhand smoke?
Believe me, I think you probably have some ideas. I have a million things that would be better. This very morning, I flipped on the TV set. What was the ad for? What was the PSA for? Buckle it up.
Right.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah, like you don't have a goddamn buzzer in your car that won't turn off if you don't.
I do it because of the dinging sound that goes off every 15 seconds. How about this one? Stop peeing on the floor in the public bathrooms so I don't have to tread through your urine. That would be a more useful sign or commercial instead of this nonsense.
Maybe Trump told you that, it would be more effective.
That's true. That's a good point.
Your car will suck the life right out of its exhaust pipe.
Smoking sucks.
Smoking. Okay, yes. I think we understand smoking is bad.
Let me get this straight. It's not good to inhale nicotine.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's crazed. Mm-hmm. It's like we have some sort of crazy obsession with smoking, and now that boiled down to secondhand smoke. But I saw a PSA. What started me on this jag is I saw this morning a PSA about pool safety. Kids die in the pool every year. And all right, there's something legitimate. But then I realized every PSA that has to do with the pool or has to do with the hot tub or has to do with the car, it always starts with what the pool is for. You know, they do a thing that goes, the pool can have hours of enjoyment with your friends and family in your swimming pool. But it can also be a killer. Oh, really? I thought it was just there to put kids in unsupervised. I didn't know you'd actually. It turns out you can frolic. So let me get this straight. Let me just paint you a scenario. It's a hot weather day. I get in something called shorts and swim in the pool, perhaps. And how many kids do I have to drown in that period? No. Oh, I see. I like when they explain what you can use, what you can do with your barbecue. You know, baseball bat can prove to be a great instrument when playing softball. It can also be a deadly weapon. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the heads up about the hot tub in the swimming pool. I actually explained to you. You know, the hot tub can be a leisurely, relaxing, soothing, whatever. But it can also be. Thank you for the first part. Thank you.
I had a friend who was an actress, and she was just really trying to get a job, and she finally got her first job in New York, and it was in a PSA, but the downside was she was playing a girl who was being sexually abused by her father. So it was like, if daddy touches you, tell the authorities. And then, of course, her real dad, you know,
She's method, too, so she had to have a real dad physically assault her.
She had to ask for some touchy-feely.
I always felt sorry for the herpes, you know, the people have to do the warts and the herpes, the Valtrex, you know, the showing that couple. It's always in that weird apologetic kind of posture. They're walking on the beach. The guy's sort of putting his arm around her in a sort of a, I love you and it's okay. I'm not going to judge.
Love you.
I'm not going to judge. And I always thought, well, that's a tough gig when you're the chick who has the herpes. But I thought, worse, the boyfriend. That's a worse gig. Obviously, you didn't give her the herpes. You're just the schlub. You know, some guy humped on her pretty good, then did all kinds of debauchery to her, and then cut her loose. And now you're the sap has to come in and rub the ointment on her open wounds.
Well, you know, they have dating websites that are just for people with herpes.
I know. I mean, oh.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Sure.
A friend of mine
is on
there.
It's that much of a scarlet letter,
well,
huh?
Well, one out of every four people has it, and it's probably a difficult thing when you're dating.
There's five people in this room, so that means
Fresca.
One and a quarter of us has it.
Statistically speaking.
I know. Drew used to always tell me about warts, half the people living in urban environments having warts, you know, having herpes, all this stuff, and it made me always think, you know, okay, now half the people, that means half the guys I know have it. I actually took the test with him. I bet him $100. He said he could find warts on me. You have to have confidence in your penis to do this live on the air. He said, I will bring in some acetic acid, which is essentially vinegar. I will dump it on your honker on the air.
Right.
I will look at it through a Woods light, which is a purple dark light. Bruska, write this down. We'll do the Woods weenie test. Because he said, really, Dr. Drew's told me several thousand times, half the people between the age of, 20 and 30 who live in these kind of environments have it. And don't know they have it.
Right.
So
it's asymptomatic.
When you say to a lot of people, oh, well, listen, I got 1,000 buddies. No one's got warts. Well, they don't know they have it. That's Drew's answer. So we dumped the acid on my weenie and looked at it via the Woods light or the purple light. That's the purple light they do on the crime, the CSI shows. They put it over the pentagram.
Also on the motel mattresses.
Yeah, that's what they find. So nothing. And I won $100. Thank you very much.
Well,
you
but
are
I did
gay.
It. I did it live on the air, and I thought, wow, this could
scary.
Be trouble.
That is some confidence. But so then, doesn't that debunk then the effects of herpes if everyone has it and it doesn't?
That's a
reveal
sampling
of how bad is it.
That's a sampling of one, so it doesn't really debunk anything. But I think Dr. Drew was talking about HPV, right? Not herpes.
No, I'm saying what's so bad about herpes? No one even knows it.
Herpes time and time again?
No, he was.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, warts, HPV. Yeah.
That's not herpes, HPV.
Yes. No, it's human papilloma virus.
Once
warts, once that. Don't pretend like you don't know, Dave.
I don't know.
Looking all confused.
I saw you in that Valtrex commercial.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
As a woman, I've learned from watching the commercials who suffers from either herpes or warts, you have two choices. You're either kickboxing alone in a gym with a single spotlight over the ring, or you're doing that bike ride, that bike built for two on a Caribbean vacation. Those are your two modes that you're in with your man who seems to be okay with what you're doing. You're never in a sexual situation. Yeah. You're in a sort of, hey, I'm woman, hear me roar. I'm still independent. This is not going to slow me down. I'm very confident. I'm taking my life back thing. Or you're in a sort of pre-sexual thing. You're on the bicycle. You're frolicking. 2 hours will be banging the bejesus out of you up in the cabana.
The message is you'll still be sexual despite your blisters.
That's right.
And if you're a woman who's lost weight, then you have to wear loose fitting clothing and dance a lot.
Yeah,
with other women.
That's right. If you've gone to the Curve Spa lately,
yes, where I go,
Darren.
Hey, Adam.
Get into that in a second. Yes.
Hey, I think the whole thing behind the PSAs, and I don't think they spend a lot of money, is because they're doing community service.
Well, the networks have to run a certain amount of them a year, and they're not so interested that a great message gets out. They just want to fulfill that obligation to the FCC. So they don't care what you're talking about. As far as the celebrities go, yeah, a lot of it is community service. But Donald Trump doesn't have any community service to fulfill when he yells at you to stop smoking for the 300th time in an afternoon.
Yeah, but Eric Estrada is doing the NSA thing with the Eagle. That's because he drove his Mercedes through someone's lawn.
Well, it would be nice if they did they should. If I ever am asked to do a PSA, I'm going to say, and by the way, I'm no drunken celebrity. I'm doing this because I want to, not because it counts as 4 hours against my community service. I could be picking up garbage on the side of the 10 freeway, but instead I did this, and that's 10 hours. Thank you very much. We should know, but between the ones who want to do it and the ones that have to do it. I agree.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Adam.
All right there, Darren. Where were we? And would you guys look at this pen? Now, we talked about this before, how the pens, this one has been attacked, looks like it's been attacked by a badger. It's been chewed almost through. And the idea that somebody takes things, that it's okay to take things and essentially gnaw on them like rodentia and shove them back into the pen, Kitty, is ridiculous once you become an adult if you don't suffer from some form of retardation.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
This is the word. We are going to dust these things. Get the Woods light and the acetic acid.
That thing's covered in HPV.
All I'm saying is I have to handle something that not only was in your mouth, but that you've attacked with your molars over and over again. Other people, look, throw the cap away, Bruska, or whoever it is. Throw it away. It doesn't need the cap. And the cap wasn't even on it.
It is disgusting, Bruska. Shame on you.
Eating pens and putting them back into the kitty. And look at this one. Not only has the cap been attacked, but the end of the pen has been attacked as well. Again, it's not. I'm not uptight. If there was anything that you put in your mouth, whether it be a pacifier, a popsicle stick, or a writing instrument, and I felt like you'd eaten it for a sufficient amount of time, I wouldn't then go ahead and use it, especially for something else. All right. Perhaps we should get some... We should get some bitters or something and spray it on there. A deterrent. You know when you train
a dog?
That's
a good idea.
Dog chews on the throw pillow. You get the little bitters, you spray it on there, it trains the dog. And then we get a squirt gun to spray it at Bruska when we see him chewing a pen.
we'll spray it with a diet soda since he's never sniffed one of those before.
I'll tell you what I do, too, is, yeah, we'll take then the can, the empty diet soda can, we'll fill it with pennies, and we'll shake it. It scares him when he goes for the pens. All right. Bruska, what happened to your hair? It looks extremely clean and dusty.
It looks like you finished
yourself with talc this morning.
I was very close from not coming in today because I feel like crap. Mm. And now it confirms I should not have come in today.
What does that have to do with you not using the Vitalis? Do you take a shower? What's different in your regimen?
I just got a haircut on Sunday, and it's just a little poofy. And by the way, it's not definite that I'm the one eating the caps.
All right.
And speaking of sniffing, Mr. Sniff himself over there, Damashek, with the biggest nose in the world.
Ooh.
I'm sure it could sniff fine.
Wow, that was a hate crime.
So be it. Don't turn this way. You're poking me in the eye with your nose.
Hate crime. That was an attack against you and your heritage.
You're going to take out both my eyes with those gigantic areolas.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. What can Adam complain about on the way? Deaf frat guy, everybody. Bill Rancic in Former Apprentice winner and new hunky guy on the current Apprentice doing the judging. Have a baby names expert also on the way up next. Going to help us figure out our baby names. Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're my new favorite.
Marxism, your whole Philadelphia communication whitewash flattening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the one you said. Are you a good rock music?
All right.
Classical.
Hang on, Murray. Still rather eat dinner with Murray than my mom and my stepdad who say nothing. More interesting, I claim.
Well, he just had a theory on Marxism.
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Teresa, you're looking very hot today, by the way. You going somewhere?
Just here. Most important place I go every day.
And then on an audition?
No.
No audition?
No.
All right.
By the way, Damashek, I'm not the only one who has a problem with you. Teresa also does.
Ooh. I do not.
Uh-oh.
It seems that Damashek can't get along with any of the news girls.
What are you talking about?
Don't turn on me. Wow. This was not for air.
What happened? We'll get into it.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll find out after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. There's lots more coming up, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sabina Ehrenfeld. Call Adam now at 1-866-901-ADAM. Because sometimes it's all about the show.
Stick around. Headed your way, more of The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check Adam's voicemail on The Adam Carolla Show.
I've got a couple of names for you. How about for the boy, Orangelo? Yes, that's Orangelo. And for the girl, you can name her Lamangelo. For the male, for your baby boy, be Gino. And if for your girl, be Diamond. All right?
Adam, name for your son, Savage. Savage Corolla.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Except if he's 5'4" and wimpy.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, he plays the oboe.
I was explaining to my very offended wife last night, actually yesterday afternoon. Jimmy's ex-wife was over at the house, Gina. She was helping put together the baby room and everything and started talking about schools. And I said, you know, there's this thing where all the frenzied parents on the East Coast and the West Coast, they don't worry about this in the red states, by the way. They don't seem to sweat these details and even other countries. But all the hipster parents usually, It's weird. I'm trying to think about it. You know, it's traditionally the realm of the sort of silver spoon right wing Lord Fauntleroy types, old money. But more and more, it's the new money, the nouveau riche left wing hipsters that are worried about the schools their kids are going to go to at an earlier age. You know, if you live in Manhattan and the old man's in the publishing business and you're, you know, a staunch Democrat, you got to start worried about what preschool this kid's going to get into before he's born in the second trimester. But I always said to my wife, look, who cares? I went to North Hollywood High. I was a ceramics major. I took high school math. I was warehoused, essentially, and so was everybody I know. She always points out that everyone else I know is a complete loser, which is a decent point. I always use myself. I always say, me and all my buddies, but all my buddies are still living in apartments in North Hollywood or OD'd many years ago. So she makes a decent point. But I said, look, we were just warehoused. I didn't learn anything. And then I started cleaning carpets for a living. So either you're curious or you're not. If you're curious, you'll seek answers. If you're not, we'll just look through the glass at Big Tad and you'll find out what happens. But then Gina, Jimmy's ex, brought up a very good point. She said, you don't go to the good school for the education. She speaks from a selfish standpoint, which is usually the posture she's in. But I agreed with her on this time. She said, no, it's not that. These kids are going to start having friends, and they're going to start hooking up with people. And before you know it, you got little gangbangers coming over the house. And they're not sleeping over. They're casing the joint. And then you have to deal with all their screwball parents, because that's the way it goes. And then I thought to myself, oh, Christ, if I have to see any of my wife's friends, I will fake an injury. I'll stab myself with a hat pin so I don't have to go out to dinner with my wife's friend and her boring husband. And then when it comes to my own family, forget about it. I could only imagine that family that my kid hooks up with over at the alma mater, over at Walter Reed Junior High in North Hollywood. The little white trash old vermin comes over, and then the guy with the handlebar mustache shows up in the custom van and says, don't worry, he'll have the kid back by Sunday. I think, oh, Christ, this is going to be horrible. You're right. You have to go to a nice school just so you can get with decent people. Now, I'm sure most of them will be gay, and then they'll have that thing where, yeah, Jeremy has four dads. You know, you're going to get a lot of that, but still better than the low-rent white trash folks that are just coming over and raiding your pantry. So that's why. Point. That's why. It's their soup. Think about this batting average. Most of the people, I know I speak for Damashek when I say this, you don't want to go out to dinner with friends you have chosen.
That's true.
You don't appreciate when they call you on the weekends. I know I've spoken to all of them. Your wife's friends, family members, forget about it. Really, I would say that if you took Damashek and myself and you said, look, do you want to go out to dinner at a nice steak joint with your wife and her parents, or would you like to sit in an 8x7 concrete square and I'll give you a tennis ball to bounce off the wall for twice the amount of time? So if you go out to dinner for 3 hours, you have to go in the hole for 6 hours. You would take the hole hands down. Hands
the
down.
Tennis ball. I'm taking the hole either way.
Is this just the family, or would it be your wife's friends?
We're snobs. We barely like ourselves.
Fair enough.
My best of friends.
Yes.
Can I stay? My best friend is ultimately the TV. That's
right.
The
TiVo, more specifically, is our best friend. And then everyone's, it's TV, TiVo, and then a fast free fall, and then I guess Kimmel and a handful of other guys hops on there. But going out now. So again, we don't want to go out with people we know, people we like, or people we share mutual love for, with, or whatever. Imagine the scumbag your 11-year-old son brings. Imagine the parents of that vermin.
Yeah.
This guy's come walking in the door wearing a bad to the bone muscle shirt. You're just sitting, oh, Christ, I got to be nice to this guy. That's why you have to send him to one of these schools.
I agree. Yeah, right. that's an interesting point she makes. You're right, but I don't want to be like some
too
sort
late
of hermetic sort of weirdo. I'm just like, consider me like the people on Friends. You know, they only hung out with each other. Mm-hmm. If I had my druthers, I'd only hang out with my best friends.
Right.
TV.
Right.
Kegerator in the couch.
That's right. You just replace Joey and Chandler with the kegerator in the couch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You might want to include your wife. No.
She doesn't get up till 7:10, so he doesn't have to.
If she does,
he can be truthful until 7:08.
Trying to help you out for later.
She, doesn't gab too much or demand I flip the channel. She's welcome to hang out.
That's right. All right. Or interrupt your lovemaking with the sofa and the kegerator.
Yes.
All right. Teresa.
Yes.
Before we left, Brisket brought up that you had a little beef with one Dave Damashek.
Mm-hmm. What gives?
I wouldn't call it a beef.
Mm-hmm. Brisket hands me a note that says, bring up the beef. Ironically, Brisket gives me the beef note, and then he leaves.
I know. He's
back.
Here he is. Bosoms McGinty himself.
I believe, were you around when that happened?
Yeah. His
what happened?
In a nutshell, Damashek strolls in at 5:50. At 5:58, he tells her, there's a bit in the news. This was yesterday. There's a bit in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And she, who comes in at 4 o'clock, Teresa, and working for 2 hours, had the whole news done and ready.
Mm-hmm.
She took a little, offense to that. She's like, well, can you tell me a little bit earlier? And Damashek really lectured her really bad.
But I said it. Let me say this. I said it.
And that was just one instance. There was a few other instances where Damashek was lecturing, has been lecturing Teresa.
Oh, I said it in a nice way.
Absolutely ridiculous.
This is
the truth.
I said, if you give me a little notice, I can probably do a better job, because it happened to be a Hussein story.
Have I heard about it on the ride in?
And, I had been
here
since 4.
You should listen to yourself, David.
Someone apparently asked, hey, that was a dead-on answer. That was my answer.
This is the way it is.
I heard about it on my way in.
Was that your answer?
That was my answer.
Why can't we hang out?
I didn't. What's more, I didn't find out about it until I walked in to hear about literally about 3 minutes before.
And I didn't mind, but the way you explained it was a little something like this. Listen, this is the way it's going to be, so you might as well get used to it, because look, things are going to happen at the last minute, and you're just going to have to deal with it. And he was right.
Is that unpleasant?
It was a tiny bit didactic.
Good day, sir!
He said good day.
Good day!
It had that tone.
I understand that if you look at those words on the page, they sound confrontational or whatever, or condescending or something, but the... Saddam Hussein was in trial yesterday morning.
Damashek comes in at 5:50. He walks in and she's on the computer, and he gives her the eyes like, "You gotta leave."
He makes me move every day.
He makes her move so he can use a computer. Even though he has his own computer,
he has issues with women.
That's absolutely untrue.
But you know what? But you shouldn't. Your mother loves you. So
I do not have issues with women. I have issues with women.
Issues with Teresa, I guess. Well, the news girl, maybe taking your airtime and stealing some of your time.
I didn't ask you to get us. I didn't ask you to leave the computer yesterday or today. What are you talking
Brisket's
about?
Brisket's stirring the pot now.
I know.
He's
trying to make trouble. But
I'm making this up. No. Well, he comes in every day and picks you off the computer.
I'm jealous of Teresa. That's why I voted for her to get the job.
Let me assess the situation. That's what canceled my vote out. Let me know next time. We'll get on the same page. Let me say this. Brisket is a pot stirrer. Yes, that is true. Damashek knows not his tone. That is true, and has a sense of entitlement. And Teresa's a sensitive person. Also, she's shining like a new dime here. First day on the job and all that. So, the nerve endings are still a little bit open.
I see.
Between the three of them, 33, 33, and 33 and a third percent all the way around.
Yes, I felt like you had a good point, and I wasn't really upset about it. But
Bruska's trying to manufacture trouble where there is none, apparently.
I'm not manufacturing it. She was complaining about you this morning.
I was joking.
All right. Bruce Lansky is on the phone. He's the author of 100,000 Baby Names.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening, Bruce?
Well, I'm excited about the call because this is a very happy occasion, and it's a lot of fun to think about names.
All right, you sound elated, Bruce.
Hardly contain himself.
Apparently more so than you, don't you?
I'm trying to sell to my wife that we live with the kid for a few years and see what names rise to the top. You see what kind of kid. I don't want to name the kid Tuffy and have him be a wuss, and I don't want to name him Elliot and turns out he's got a low IQ and doesn't much like hitting the books.
Right.
You know,
I totally understand. However, there are ways around that. You you can take a look at the complexion of your you and your wife, and you can figure if a name that means white or fair, like Jennifer, is a is appropriate or not.
Jennifer means light skinned, huh?
Light skinned, right? And a Bianca. I mean, there are a number of names that sort of.
What about D apostrophe Chandra?
Well,
what complexion would that denote?
Probably dark.
Probably dark. All right.
And there's a really interesting study about that, and it came out of Newsweek in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
People that give children names that are sort of from the hood,
mm-hmm.
those names don't do very well when your child is applying for a job. Apparently, kids named Deshonda don't get 40% less callbacks for job interviews than kids named Jessica or Jennifer.
One could argue there's other contributing factors, such as a long rap sheet and a GED that go along with the name, oftentimes.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's not racist. Because I announce it's not racist. Otherwise, it would be.
There is no racial bigotry here.
No, but seriously, when they do those kinds of studies, when they do any kinds of studies, yes, people that name their kids D apostrophe, you know, the names from the hood, so to speak, single family environments, not an emphasis on education, oftentimes not the money to buy the education or to continue the education, and therefore they do 40% worse in job interview situations, not necessarily because of the name, but because of what goes along with that name and who named them.
The statistic from Business Week was about sending in your resume and then getting a job callback.
Mm-hmm.
But you've really named a really important statistic that you really nailed. A lot of times these are single family homes or single parent homes, and what's interesting about that is if there are two parents in the home, one of them may say that's crazy, forget that name,
right?
But with only one parent in the house, whether it's a man or woman, that second voice of reason isn't there,
right? My wife told me the other night that if I wasn't around, she would name the girl Maxi Pad. And I thought, wow, it's a good thing I'm here to name her Tampon,
right? There are celebrity tracks.
Might not be a bad name.
Tammy?
I don't think it would help too much. Tammy, great.
Yeah.
But there are celebrity traps, and you don't want to fall into that if you can avoid it. Celebrity names, often I'm called up by these personality and entertainment magazines.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the latest celebrity name? And in a general way, my response is almost always, that's a name that calls attention to the celebrity.
Right.
It's a name that will make a big splash. It's a name that may be uncomfortable to live with. And ultimately what you want when you name a child is you want a name that you and your spouse or partner really like, a name that your child is probably going to like, and a name that will open doors for your child instead of shutting doors for your child.
Yes.
Sort of a name that will enable your child to put his or her best foot forward. And what that means is a name that comes across as attractive, nice, bright, competent.
Well, most of these names, as I look at our celebrity list here with the Banjos and the Speck and the Jazz and the Pilot, they're just going to open the door to rehab.
Exactly.
And some are good and some aren't, like Erica Badu. Yeah. And by the way, Erica, who spells her name, I never really thought about this, E-R-Y-K-A-H, which is nice. That's another thing that drives me nuts, when you take a name that everyone knows, and then you go ahead and make your own crazy spelling of it. Your child then must spend his entire or her entire life correcting people, and that's the first interaction they have with everybody.
Exactly. It's a negative interaction.
Because when I meet somebody, I meet people, and I do that thing where I go, oh, okay, so your name is Kathy, okay, let's put you down here, C-A-T, it's K-A-T-H-triple-E. I immediately get angry at them, and that's our first exchange, and now they're in my doghouse, and they won't get out.
Exactly. Now, let me tell you where that comes from. Especially with girls, parents think that they want their girl to turn out to be unique and special.
Right.
So they believe, and this is fallacious reasoning, that if they choose a unique and special name for their daughter, then the daughter will, ipso facto, turn out to be unique and special.
Ooh, ipso facto? I got twins coming.
Twins, yeah, right?
Ipso facto.
Nice.
I'm just saying as an example. And this usually happens more with girls. There are a number of ways that people come up with crazy names. One is, as you pointed out, making up a unique spelling for a common name.
Right.
Which, as you point out, leads to spelling problems and pronunciation problems. Another one is, believe it or not, I go to schools a lot because I speak in schools, and parents now are combining their first names. So I met a girl named Carlinda. Turns out her dad is named Carl and her mom is named Linda.
Right.
Another crazy thing. Another thing is making up a name by adding a prefix. You mentioned D apostrophe.
Yes.
You can also do Sha or La or Ja and other things.
Ja's a good one, too, yeah.
A great name like Michael and turn it into Shamichael, Jamichael, LaMichael.
Yes, so, yes. Rejected in the job.
You can select
interview, yes.
Now, here are some cool things you can do to pick a name that has some uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
You can select a name from some place that you really like.
Like Brooklyn, Beckham's kid.
Mm-hmm. All right. I would go with Brooklyn because it calls up a lot of different kinds of connotations for people.
Uh-huh.
But Paris, for example, is kind of a neat place.
I was going to go with La Crescenta.
That has the prefix, though, so no job interview.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly.
La Crescenta Corolla. What'd you do, adopt? No. Oh, sorry.
You know, if we're talking about twins, so those are just some things that you could do. And some of them really work well. You could pick a name from a foreign culture, and you could end up with a name that sounds wonderful. It could be Japanese, it could be Thai, it could be anything.
Right.
But if it sounds great, it could work in a wonderful way.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the wonderful culture, wonderful way thing, is there's that... Hey, let me look at your name tag there. Saharia. What does that mean, Proud Princess? Oh, fantastic. How about we supersize those McNuggets, Proud Princess? Thank you.
Exactly.
And bring them out to the car.
Princess
would you much now?
Of the Fryolator.
That's right. That's what ends up happening. It's pathetic when the proud princess or the noble warrior is pushing a mop or cleaning the head.
Exactly right.
It's horrible.
Now, can I give you, just for fun, a list of the most popular twins' names?
Ooh.
Do you have boy-girl lists?
I have a boy-girl list. Is that what you have?
Yeah, boy and a girl. That's what I'm having.
Twin boy and girl. These are the most popular twin boy and girl names for 2004. Now, here's what's interesting about them. In a general way, people tend to like to, when they have twins, have a common first letter. Like the first number one on the list is Taylor and Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Number two on the list, Emma and Ethan. Number three, Natalie and Nathan. Okay, you get the sort of the...
I don't understand that retarded strategy, the part where I start yelling Ethan's name and Emma from across the house thinks I'm yelling her name because they start the same sound of the same first two letters. It's the same thing when you're driving and they name the goddamn street North Cannon Way and North Cannon Drive and North Cannon Road. It's like, it's confusing. Don't give it all the same names. It's too close to each other.
Well, that's kind of what people do.
If people are stupid. I'm tired of people.
Right. Well, they're retarded people, but that's...
Thank you.
I could keep going with this.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think you're really right. There's a confusion. When your kids become teenagers and you call them and they're getting more phone calls than you are, that's when it's impossible to know who you're talking about anymore.
Right.
So we had Emma and Ethan, Natalie and Nathan, Madison and Matthew, Jada and Jaden. I hate that.
Jaden
is an increasingly popular name for boys.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
That's Will Smith's kid.
It's corny. Okay, Brianna and Brian. Now, that's really silly because they're the same essential name.
Right.
There's another one similar. Alexis and Alexander, same essential name, one for boys and one for girls. It's weird.
Yes, again, let me explain to anyone listening whether they're naming streets and putting the goddamn, just having the small little, abbreviated, by the way, Canyon Way, Road, Drive, or whatever at the end of the lengthy name. Let me explain the concept of names overall, because I feel like people need a refresher course on this. The whole reason humans came up with names is so we could differentiate between this and that.
Right.
So we don't end up on the wrong street. So I don't yell out my boy's name and have my daughter come running to me. This is the very reason names have been invented. That's the only reason there's names. So when I yell Dave Damashek comes over here and not Bill the board up. That's why we have names. We've now screwed up that whole thing by taking all the names and making them into the same sounding word.
It's going to be a different...
God damn, are we stupid.
It's going to be a different time, by the way, if you call me to go do something, Dave versus Bill. You're going to have a different kind of night.
Yes. One, the very boring and subdued versus one mixed with smart cocktails and hepatitis C. Go ahead. I'm not saying who's who. Right. You decide.
There's another confusing thing in terms of popular names. I'm looking most popular girls' names. The two most popular are Emily and Emma. Obviously, they're related.
Mm-hmm.
But Anna and Hannah are on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, a lot of the names that people like sound just about the same.
Right.
It's a very weird thing.
Yeah.
People are falling in love with, like, there's Nathan and Jason, which is almost alike, and the other almost sound-alikes are Ethan and Nathan. So there's a lot of names that people like the sound of, and they're just sort of choosing one or the other with that same sound.
Yeah, you know, one name we never brought up, Jimmy Kimmel would kill me, but Jay. Not a bad name for a dude. Jay's a solid dude name, never comes up.
It's actually a really solid name, and what's interesting is the macho name is Jake. Jacob is the number one name for boys right now. The macho name is Jake. You know, Jake, Hank, Chuck, macho.
Right.
But there's sort of a trend to softening names and to coming up with names that aren't either too macho or too sissy, too wussy.
Yeah, let's say Jay's sort of in between.
It's just playing it safe, though. I don't like that tune.
I don't know,
though. I say roll the dice. Take a chance.
I say playing it safe is Jim or John, but Jay is not quite jaded, but it's not John. You know, it's a little different, a little off the beaten path, but not crazy.
Right, and John is the most popular name of all names.
I don't understand when naming your kid John is like coming up with a product and putting 2000 after it. That just means you have no creative ability and you're fresh out of ideas.
I would tend to agree, and the same thing happens for girls with the names that a lot of times. Catholics think they have to name their children because they're saints, but like Anne and, Mary and Anne, those names are used and overused, and they basically, if you look them up in terms of what the stereotype or image is, it's basically boring.
I'll tell you what I don't like, and then we're running late. We gotta break. Bruce Lansky, by the way, is the author of 100,000 Baby Names on the Blower, complete baby name book. The thing that drives me nuts is for instance, the ones that are really close. Like, do we need a Tara and a Tara? I used to work with this bitch who screamed phones. Brian laughs because he hates her guts, too. Sassy little 22-year-old who I would inevitably call her Tara when her name was Tara, or Tara when her name is Tara, and she would get violent. It's not Tara, it's Tara. And I would just look at her and go, listen, sweet, I don't give a flying ass. Just give me some more coffee now, would you? She drove me insane. But the point is I've called Andreas, Andreas,
Kristen
Andreas,
and
Andreas. And the fact that there's an Andrea, an Andrea, and there's three.
There's Laura, Laurie, Lori,
and Lara.
Lauren, Lara. Right. That's the worst.
I have trouble with Kirsten, Kristen.
Right.
And the, Andrea. Andrea and Andrea.
Right.
Yeah. Those drive me nuts. My Dr. Drew's wife's name is Susan, and my wife's best friend is Suzanne. And they will pitch a plot if I screw either one of them up or swap them. And eventually this is what happens, because you hang out with Dr. Drew for a few years and you start talking about his wife, Susan, or Suzanne, or whatever it is. And then I talk to my friend. I call my friend's wife, my wife's friend. I call her Suzanne. Oh, jaw drops, slap in the face. Right. Like you defecated into a sock and just smacked them across the face.
Right into their mouth.
And I'm always like, look, when there's a Susan and a Suzanne, you're asking for it. Please.
Well, that's one of the issues about picking a name is figuring out what people are really going to call that person. Frank will be called, as a child, Frankfurter. I mean, so there are certain...
That's true. Although I wonder if kids know Frankfurter anymore.
Well,
I think it's just hot dog. And furthermore, I think they just go right to it.
Yeah.
I think they just call him an MF-er. nowadays. Like, there's no, like my name, Adam Carolla. Oh, you mean like Crayola? Crayola, Crayola. Now just be MF-er. They might work in the N-word, depending on what the kid looked like. You know what I mean? I think kids don't have time for Frankfurt and Crayola. It's like criminals don't have time to be pickpockets anymore. Now just go upside the guy's head with a bat and roll it.
Yeah,
I think that's what goes on. Listen, we got to take a break, Bruce. I want to thank you for being part of the program.
Well, I really enjoyed it. You are one funny man.
Wow, thanks. Well, come in and see us when you're in town.
We'll
talk baby names, but you got to get here in the next, like, 8 days, because once my wife craps out the kids, the bloom will be off the rose, and I won't care anymore. All right, Bruce Lansky, everyone. 100,000 Baby Names, the most complete baby name book. We'll be right back with the Deaf Frat Guy, News and Sports, Bill Rancic from The Apprentice, the winner of The Apprentice, What Can Adam Complain About? Many things to come.
Adam Carolla. He's as funny as he thinks he is.
Kathy Griffin, can we do a little free association with you here?
I love it.
Charlie Sheen.
Wouldn't you be afraid to even be in the same room with him without wearing a hazmat? Like, he's got to be carrying viruses, exotic strains.
You feel like a 30-pound crab could leap from his groin and wrestle you to the ground.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't mind people who exercise. I don't want to see them exercise.
Baby names, baby names. He needs boy and girl twin baby names. Adam's wife has two buns in the oven. A result of the ace man's loving. He must have bionic sperm. Cause now they're bringing two babies to term. Baby names, baby names. Just give them a call with your baby names.
Her snoring, by the way, is now
bad.
Snoring for three.
Cindy doesn't like that. He talked about that too. It worries her about being pregnant.
Well,
that it's going to be an ugly scene when she gets pregnant. And she also thinks, like, that Adam doesn't paint a very pretty picture of Lynette.
Well,
he talks about her snoring. What? She's so pretty and cute.
Well, it's not funny to say nice things, I have to say.
I guess that's true.
It's never a great choice
just
to me.
Cindy like, knows Lynette and she feels bad.
But I go to bed, you know, I go to bed at 10:30 or 11. I get up at 4:45. And to have the old lady sawing logs the entire time when I'm already getting up 6-7 hours earlier than I'd like to. It's just rough. Plus the dog snores now,
and it's
too.
An attack.
Yeah, my dog Molly, I think, sympathetically snores along with Lynette.
Will you be in the delivery room?
I will, but that's another one of those things. I think there's a lot of stuff that's been sold to males over the past 25, 30 years that really somebody decided about 30 years ago, maybe it's 40 now when the whole movement started, and really, this is just the entire left side of the country, but that there should be no difference between men and women. It started with equal pay for equal work, and then just spread into jobs that men traditionally did. Why can't a woman be a firefighter? Why can't a woman be in combat? Why can't a woman fly a fighter aircraft? Why can't? And this turned into women doing stuff that guys traditionally do, and then it turned into guys doing stuff that women traditionally do. Why should the woman stay home and be with the child? Why can't the husband stay home? Women don't realize you're effing up the entire thing. There's a reason why guys do this and women do that. I don't know who decided it. Obviously, it was decided a long time before we got here. I know women think, and guys and certain men think this, and people think in general, that there's a bunch of guys with salt and pepper in their hair wearing three-piece suits that are sitting in some elite club smoking cigars and high-back leather chairs deciding what should go on. Hey, you know, it would be funny. Be funny if little girls had to play with dollies and little boys had to play with guns. Let's do that. Let's have them do that. No, girls play with dolls because girls are attracted to that inherently.
Yes.
And guys play with guns because that's what guys do. And if you have a girl and you have a little boy and a little girl and you just leave them alone, you never let them watch TV, don't say anything, a guy around the age 3 or 4 will pick up a stick and and start shooting people with it, and the girls will pick up a mop and start nurturing it. That's the way it works. I have no idea why, but leave it alone!
Will you allow your son to play with gun, with toy guns? Because most parents...
Nah, I don't care. They're going to do it anyway.
But everybody... But, I mean, reasonable people I talk to, like guys and stuff
liberal
like that.
Liberal pussies.
No way. No, your children can't liberal. Have toy guns.
Well, so one of the things we decided along the... When I say we, I mean everyone but me decided along this horrible line of thinking is that guys need to stand there and actually give birth while the woman is giving birth. We physically need to have something leave our body while the kid's being spat out. I don't think it's a great plan. Now, my wife's going C-section, so at least I don't have the part where I'm, you know, staring down the barrel of the gun, waiting for the kids to come out, along with the video camera and the rest of the strangers. But this idea that you take this part that a lot of guys worship as delicate flowers, the vagina, and turn it into some escape hatch for these aliens. They've blown the explosive bolts on the escape hatch. The self-destruct countdown sequence has been initiated. By the way, never a button to shut it. Seemed like if there was one button on the ship, it would be that one. But that, no, once it starts, you can't stop it, even though they always inevitably want to stop it. I would announce that before we initiated the self-destruct system in the ship. Look, at some point, about 10 minutes from now, we're going to want to stop this desperately. Maybe we should think about it now, seeing as how there's no button to stop it. But the point is the kids escaped through the hatch, and now you're supposed to have sex with the hatch 3 weeks later? Now you're weird and forever. I see your kids, your bloody, greasy kids crawling from this hatch, and now you're supposed to make sweet, passionate love to it moments later, weeks later, and for the rest of the relationship. I don't think it helps, guys, and I've spoken to a lot of guys who are like, yeah, after seeing that, my wife kind of became mommy at that point, not my wife, but my kid's mom at that point.
Yeah.
And then we go out and we get some hookers.
You know what's always worried me, and I know this is very shallow, but I heard that during a vaginal delivery, sometimes the mother loses control of her bowels.
Yes.
And that, to me, would be the most horrible, embarrassing thing. I don't want any man seeing that.
Yes, there's the losing control of the bowels, which is another interesting emotional complication that now goes along with looking at that part of the world some weeks later when you're becoming intimate. The other part is the tearing. This is the one Dr. Drew...
Episiotomy, though, they'll sew it up.
...speaks to me about. Where the vagina and the anus become as one. Where the river, where the banks of the river vagina jump the levee and go to the anal canal and turn it into one big mire.
But yeah, they can build that's the another, dam. Back
yeah,
up.
They can. They we can get FEMA in there to drop a few boulders in, but it's never going to be the same. Point is enjoy that area now after what you've seen. And by the way, this is traumatic. This is like getting into a fiery van crash and then being expected to get back behind the wheel kind of thing. I don't think it's a great plan for guys. I really don't. I don't understand why we need to be standing there. And this is many things that I just don't think's in the DNA. I really don't. I think there's a reason why guys aren't supposed to be standing around with a video camera. They're supposed to be in the waiting room with cigars, and that's it. That's the way I feel. And again, more stuff sold to guys. Guys go along. Ultimately, it's not going to help us or society. Thank you. The more you know. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about some names here. Dan?
Yes, sir.
You named
your... How are you doing this morning, Adam?
I'm a little fired up, I must say. You named your daughter what?
Actually, I had a son. I named him Varric.
Varric.
Yes, with a V.
Hmm.
It's a strong Viking name.
Varric. So.
Yes.
All right. And again, aren't you worried, though, that it's going to be a Viking leader name and it's going to be, Varric, go ahead and check the wiper fluid. And how much more is the synthetic? Okay, give me the synthetic. Give me the synthetic.
That's the name of a man that's going to be in charge.
What's your last name? I'll tell you whether
Ford, actually. Ford, just like the car. I got the same stigma that you got there with the Corolla.
Yeah, Ford much better. The Varric Ford. Okay.
I like it.
It's good, except for the part where people may think it's one name. Varric Ford, what's your last name? You know what I mean?
And he's going to always have to spell it out.
Varric, he will have to spell it out.
That already.
All right, but that's still solid.
And for your girl, you should name her Alexandria, so you can call her Zandy for short.
Zandy, not bad. People are going to think it's Sandy, and I'm just gay.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
A tip of the hat, by the way, to the Brian working the songs here. You hear this terrible song, but it's torn.
You see? Oh, I just got
speaking
that.
Of the damaged
vaginal tear, yes.
Yeah, episiotomy.
Wow. Grady?
Hey, Adam. It's Grady.
Grady's a solid name.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
For the girl, Skylar.
Mm-hmm.
And for the boy, Gage.
Gage, interesting.
Gage is the good one, yeah.
Gage is solid, but it's a very precise name. But I had a teacher in junior high named Mr. Gage, who ironically taught metal shop, who was a tremendous a-hole. And I have a horrible taste in my mouth because of that name. And by the way, if you're still alive and still listening, Mr. Gage, kiss my ass, you old bald coot. Have fun with your $39K a year and your crappy one-bedroom apartment in Van Nuys. If you want to talk to me, call my publicist.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
I like that. But although Gage has gay, and that might be trouble with the kids.
Yes. Let's try one more. Robert?
Yes, sir?
What do you got for names?
Well, I just want to let you know what I named my daughter.
All right.
I named her Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 18 years old now, and I told her growing up that she will be remembered for good or for bad because of her name. And it's gone well for her.
You know? Yeah. Hey, everybody, low stage. Shadow. Then Robert thinks she's pre-law at Cornell, so don't say anything. Turquoise State tree, turquoise. Mama, quit your grin and drop your later. Show me a appreciation. Hey, we got the Asian businessman's lunch coming up on Tuesdays. Open buffet, bottomless salad bowl. We'll refill the Bud Light on tap. That's 2 to 3:30 Tuesdays. Buck 99 laugh dances. Come on down. Bottomless bucket of shrimp and try it. Try the Leaning Tower French fries. Go on. Shadow stage four. Shadow time to shake your money back. Sorry, Robert.
I'm sure he wasn't the least bit offended.
Not the least.
What's your last name, if you don't mind me asking?
Scott.
Shadow Scott. Okay, that's good, too. Again, if you have a last name, one syllable, Ford, Scott, and Black, or whatever, and then you just go with that crazy first name or more interesting first name, it kind of works.
The world's your oyster when you have a monosyllabic surname.
Yeah. Right.
Damashek is difficult to work with. I'm hamstrung with it. But, yeah, Scott Dynamite.
Right. All right. All right, so Shadow Scott.
Correct.
Okay, Robert. Took him a few minutes to chime in there. I had to check a cheat sheet. I had like one of those dad quarterback wristbands on. Let's see. Kids' names, address, mom's maiden name. There we go. Correct.
He was busy polishing his daughter's Lucite shoes.
The huge stripper wedgies. I'm surprised there are not 100 strippers killed or maimed every year with those 9-inch wedgies and the crap they're doing. They're all loaded. They're all beaked up on meth, bathtub meth, and they have 9 inches worth of wedgie. Their hand-eye coordination isn't great to begin with. They're high as a kite, and they're kicking their foot over their head. This seems like trouble.
Throw in a pole.
All right, let's take ourselves a break. Teresa, news coming up. What's in store?
Yes, well, the Black Eyed Peas played a free concert here in Los Angeles, and unfortunately, somebody tape recorded it.
Oh.
Wait to hear that. And O.J. Simpson's new show? We have clips. You have to hear them to believe them.
Tasty. After this.
Adam Carolla. He's as funny as he thinks he is.
We went and pulled a scene from When Harry Met Sally. Deaf frat guy, I guess you're going to be Harry.
Hell yeah.
And Sabina, you'll be Sally.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that feels great. Like that. Keep going.
Oh, that was so good.
Hell yeah.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear Mr. James Tony, I've been engaged to Zach for 3 years, but I don't know if I should marry him. My family has never approved of him, and they have put second thoughts into my mind. Zach has been in prison for the last 2 years and wants us to be married as soon as he gets out, which will be in another 3 years. When I read his letters or visit him, he scares me. Since he's been incarcerated, he's been on antipsychotic drugs and antidepressants, and he sees a therapist every month. He says things like, he'll be with me for all eternity and until death do us part. And if you ever leave me, I'll kill myself. Should I marry him? Lacking conviction in Texas.
Dear Lackey, this is a decision only you can make. Your fiancé is not the only one who has changed. You have changed too. Please bear in mind that this man wouldn't be in antisocial or psycho medication if he didn't have serious mental problems. Life doesn't always deal us a hand that we want. We all are responsible for our own lives and our own survival. Threatening suicide to force you to stay in a relationship is a classic form of manipulation, and I wouldn't do it.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
What problem can't he solve? All right, we just met Bill Rancic out there, the apprentice. He won the very first one. Now he's on the show. One of my favorite shows. Watched it just last night.
He's your favorite of all the apprentice people?
Well, he's the only one that stuck around. The other ones actually seem to go to work. He never wanted to take the makeup off.
Yeah.
He hangs out. He's on the show now.
That blonde girl that won, you never see her doing interviews or anything. She's working.
No, I was explaining to him during the commercial that he's the only one that made the cut. He's from season one, yet he continues on camera, even though we're in the fifth season now. And he said, yeah, I wonder why that is. And I said, well, maybe it's because you're that much better than everyone, or possibly because the other people are horrible.
Right. So he's no Justin Guarini.
No.
Equivalent.
Is that good?
He's the one.
Well, Justin came in second, and Bill actually won.
Yeah, Bill won.
All right, listen.
Let's just move forward. And let's ask the fish tank. And see what
who cares
they
about, is American Idol worth watching? I think that's a no, fish tank. Thank you.
All right. We're talking The Apprentice, you understand.
I know, but I don't.
Let's move forward.
Guarini, right, I don't know about just, it.
Let's cut
so
bait here. Teresa.
Yes.
It is now your time to shine, girl. Teresa Strasser with the news.
President Bush said last night in a primetime address that he would send as many as 6,000 National Guard troops to secure the United States border with Mexico. Mm. Sure, I could play you a clip from his speech, but it's much more interesting to hear what happened when CNN cut to his address live, but they accidentally caught the president rehearsing. So here is that, and you'll hear Wolf Blitzer trying to damage control.
Mm-hmm. And in recent weeks, Americans have seen those emotions on display on the streets of major cities.
Jeff, I believe that the president...
let me interrupt for a second. Wow. I think what happened, Jeff, is that the president is rehearsing, and right. The pool, network pool inadvertently went to the president as he is rehearsing.
Exactly.
We're still about 45 seconds away from this.
Just
is
one
supposed
quick
to,
point then, if I may.
Oops.
I got to tell you, I wouldn't even want to be president today. You look back, you see these. I saw a retrospective on Marilyn Monroe, and back in the day, president, that was a gig. It was like, well, John Kennedy was effing her for a while. Then she got introduced to Bobby Kennedy, and he was into her. The attorney general, by the way. He started effing her for a while, and so for a while she thought she was in love with Bobby. Meanwhile, these guys are just being photographed with their wife and their kids out on a boat in Manhasset, you know? It's crazy. You got to just nail people in the White House. You'd hit the road. Yeah, he'd come out to California. Sure, he'd come out to California, do a little business. Then he'd bang a starlet. Then he'd head back to the White House. The press knew. They just, you know, they played it close to the vest. What a time to be president.
I agree.
Could really
the
use your
Clinton
power to F people.
Exactly.
And you know, the thing with Flowers
Clinton,
types.
Right.
The thing with Clinton is it's not my beef isn't that he's the most powerful man in the world. You know, and getting something on the side. It's the choice of woman. He couldn't do better than Monica Lewinsky.
Well, that's the whole deal. There's no way in this day and age that Clinton could go have sex with starlet du jour. I mean, Marilyn Monroe was the biggest star of that time, the biggest starlet of that time, certainly.
If Carmen Electra were being ushered into the White House,
someone would notice.
Right.
Somebody would notice. Yeah.
Toby!
I'll tell you the one good thing. When you started hearing about the very graphic details about what happened to the cigar and what about the dress with the semen stains on it, at least I could get some bathroom mileage out of it. With Monica Lewinsky, it's like hearing about your mom. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, your father was very passionate. Oh, God damn. Just pass the baklava. Let's zip it, please.
In entertainment news,
Carmen Electra really gets some mileage out of that cigar thing. Ooh, yeah.
Trying to move along.
Do tell more. Interesting. Tipperillo is a regular cigar.
In entertainment news, you may have heard.
White Owl. Nice. Now, was it the mentholated stuff or the vanilla? Because that's good. They have that like, rum vanilla. No, I'm just asking. All right, sorry.
O.J. Simpson.
Which end, though? The business end? Or the, and did he nip Neal's it? Neal. And if he did do the little nip thing, is it the equivalent to circumcision?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A little bit of a bris. All right. O.J.
Yes,
Simpson.
If you heard about Jessica Alba or someone like that, Ian, and then you heard about the details, oh, he had some of her DNA on her blouse and stuff, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Monica wins.
There would be no impeachment hearings then.
No.
If it were Alba.
No.
For the record, I think she has a pretty face. O.J. Simpson.
Term. Shooting Thank
a,
you.
Yes. Shooting a punk style prank show. You may have heard about this. It's
yes.
called Juiced. It's now completed and is going to be available this month as a pay-per-view. Here is O.J. trying to sell his Bronco. This is as a prank at a used car lot.
The difference between a Bronco and an Explorer, you gonna debate this with me? Broncos are they're noted for their durability. It was good for me.
Yeah.
Got me out of harm's way.
Just sit.
Okay, I'll sit in it.
Just sit in it.
I mean, even there was a dead body in it.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's no bodies in this thing. I actually drove this car once and some cop shot at me. But the engine is impeccable. And I can guarantee you the car has escapability.
Escapability. let me say this.
Wow.
OJ claims that he's not making any money off the project, which is not surprising because he still owes over $33 million from his wrongful death.
Well, why is he doing it? I mean, if somebody asked him why he's doing it, if not for profit.
I mean, it boggles the mind. There's got to be some profit.
I guess as an artist, you want to express yourself.
Well,
I think maybe that's it.
As we talked about the other day, what would be better than him taking a polygraph test? Or actually, the thing we talked about, the improved polygraph,
the
100% certainty, the MRI
yes,
test.
Yes, we had the no-lie MRI scientist.
Right.
Nice tall drink of water, by the way.
I know, he was
porn
cute.
Star scientist came in here a couple weeks ago. And we talked to him about his MRI machine. Forget about hooking electrodes up to your nipples and seeing if they're sweaty or not. This goes right in your brain and tells you what color your frontal lobe is turning when we ask you provocative questions. He says it's 99.9% accurate. How about a pay-per-view? OJ, but Joey Buttafuoco, maybe we get the Menendez brothers or whoever.
It would be the most watched thing in the history of
Certainly
TV.
The most talked about. And again, you can't be tried again, O.J. Here's your $5 million. You're desperate for cash. We'll make hundreds of millions of dollars on the pay-per-view. What
well,
a deal.
Well, I think he's obviously open to new opportunities.
I'm going to have my people contact. I think we have the same publicist, so I think I'll go through him. I'll go through Matt. We'll figure it out.
This may be a little difficult to hear, but the Black Eyed Peas gave a free concert at San Fernando Valley High School, which won the Rock Your School contest.
Mm.
Here's Fergie's version of Sweet Child of Mine.
Uh-oh.
It's a little, I'm going to warn you, it's tough.
San Fernando, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, Jesus, I think, one of the San Fernando was up the street from North Hollywood High where I went. Scary high school, by the way. But I think one of the big backs from SC went there. Maybe I don't know if it was Ricky Bell or Anthony Davis or something like that. We'll have to find out. But either way, I'm telling you, she was into me, this girl. That's right. Fergie.
Oh, wait
Fergie.
A second.
Yeah, has nothing to do with San Fernando
Fergie's
High.
Fergie's into you.
She was. Yes.
What happened?
She used to be in a band called Wild Orchid. A few years back, all-girl band, Damashek knows the story. Had him on Loveline, the TV show, a few times. And one time we went to some party or something, just a few weeks after she was on the show, I ran into her.
I was with my wife, girlfriend at the time. She was loaded, and she was hitting on me in front of my girlfriend. And my wife was PO'd, I remember, and she wanted a phone number, and she like told Lynette to stay here while we went to the other room.
So this is Lynette's favorite clip, this sweet child of mine.
I'm sure, but she's the only confirmed celebrity to try to pick up on me.
I'm sure there are many more.
Yeah, no.
You better not name that girl twin Fergie then.
That would be a bad idea. Call. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a little offensive. Mm-hmm. Jenny McCarthy has a new column in the men's magazine FHM. For her first installment, she wrote an article teaching men how to cheat and get away with it. She stresses that her tips should only be used on women who deserve it. McCarthy's suggestions include sticking to your normal routine and resisting the urge to become more stylish.
Oh, please. That's what everybody says. Everybody says when you work out, stick to your routine. And when you start working out, that's when they notice. And also when you start jumping around with your calendar, that's when they notice, too. Just status quo. Keep the ship going the same direction it always is. But that's not a tip. Everyone knows that.
Jenny McCarthy, not exactly the Andy Rooney of our generation, what you're saying.
No, but hotter.
Yes.
Marginally.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Monstrous game five tonight in the Valley of the Sun. Elton Brand, Corey Maggette and the gang in Phoenix to play MVP. Steve Nash, the Duncan Gorilla, and the rest of the Suns.
Yeah.
Series tied at two. This one's huge. Sounds like the Clips are going to have Chris Kaman on their side, which is nice. Little carrot dangling for the two teams is Dallas Mavericks now 3-1 on the defending champion Spurs, which is probably better for them. It's probably a more beatable team, whoever emerges victorious from this matchup. National pastime. Dodgers, Arizona Snakes, Giants, all winners. Bonds, still homerless. I now sort of want him to hit the home run already so I can hear him booed vociferously by the Texan people.
Well, when do they get back to San Francisco? How many games does he have before they get back home?
They're at least on the road for this series and then the next one. I'm not sure how much longer. And at the rate he's going at, he can't seem to get the ball out of the infield. So
yeah, but you'd like to. Well, you go back 4 or 5 games ago, he hit the one that was essentially stolen out in center field. I mean, he hit it to the deepest part of the park. And if not the kind of home run rob where the guy's arm went 3 feet over the top of the fence, but it still would have gotten out of the park. Mm-hmm. You now look at that. That was 35 at-bats ago.
Well, I guess I said I'd like him to hit the home run already. On the other hand, I wouldn't mind if he never hit another home run.
Right.
Another 1,500 at-bats, can't hit one out. That'd be fantastic. Padres lost. They're still in first place, though. Did you see about the Duke player? The captain of the team was arrested now, David Evans. He gave a speech about how he didn't do it. How about this? How fishy is this? He offered the prosecution to take a polygraph test, and they said no thanks.
Right.
Then he took one on his own, and he passed it with flying colors. Something stinks with this case.
Something's rotten in Denmark. Duke Mark, I'll tell you that. Crack myself up. Look, we've talked about it all the time. Everyone gets mired in all the legal ease and this kind of stuff. If you ask somebody to take a polygraph test and they refuse, they're guilty. If they offer to take one, they're innocent. It's the same with the breathalyzer. Cop pulls you over on a Saturday night, says you've been weaving, asks you to take the breathalyzer. You say, no, I'll not take the breathalyzer. Guilty. You're coming in. That's the way the law works. Obviously, if you weren't drinking, you would gladly blow into it. Now, you can argue, well, I don't know about this technology. It's only 75% accurate. I didn't want to get railroaded. No. We have a technology. You did not avail yourself of it. Therefore, it implies guilt. Therefore, you're going to be treated just as if you're a drunk driver. Why doesn't the polygraph test work that way?
Hear, hear.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of crime and college athletes, Ramontz Taylor, Texas running back, scored a touchdown against USC in the title game last January, was arrested. Mm. And when he was arrested, 5 pounds of weed in his car, and live ammo. So to review, 5 pounds of weed, live ammo, his name is Ramontz, Mm-hmm. Definitely not a Jew.
Yes. Leading candidate for definitely not a Jew.
And lastly, tomorrow night, San Jose and Jonathan Chichu, backs to the wall. Mm. They must win. Mm-hmm. They must win so that we can have a Chichu-Temu matchup. Don't people understand that this won't be of this earth? It's going to be in the heavens. Fly me to Temu and let me skate among Chichu. Let me see what hockey's like in Anaheim with you. In other words,
that's a jazzy little number.
Go Chichu.
A little better at Fergie, yeah.
In other words, go Temu.
This is now spun out of control.
It's very, very sad.
Anthony Davis, by the way, went to San Fernando High.
Listen, I'm ashamed of myself, but that said, Bruska tells me we have $400 in Overstock.com loot to be won for anyone who can come up with the best Chichu song.
Well, you're not going to top that, but go ahead and knock yourself out.
Let the amateurs try. Sure. Right. Yes, I've crafted
gold.
Don't
hurt yourself.
So anyone who calls in with the best Chichu/Temu song by end of day shall win $400 in Overstock.com loot.
Fantabulous.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, original Apprentice winner Bill Rancic in studio. He's coming in. We'll talk to him about The Apprentice. Also, Def Rat Guy making his way into the building. He's coming up, too, and then we'll combine the two, see if he can hone his interviewing skills. That is the Def Rat Guy going to be out in the workplace soon. Yeah. As we'll talk to a pro like Bill. We'll do all that after this.
Adam Carolla. He's as funny as he thinks he is.
Jimmy Kimmel.
There's some talk, I'm not going to say who mentioned this to me, but it was Dave. Apparently you've been occupied with maybe another talk show host.
I may have seen Leno over the weekend. I travel with all, I see a lot of celebrities. Hold on a second.
On our weekend. You smell like cue cards.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. This is really easy. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
Don't smoke.
You're fired.
Smokey.
This is really easy.
Don't smoke.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired. You're fired.
I think Trump should just do all PSAs now. He seems to be the voice of authority. You know how we have one guy does all the movie trailers?
Right.
Let him do all of them. Let him do prenatal care. It doesn't suck. And he could just scream at everybody all the time. A childhood HIV. It sucks.
And he just smoking sucks the air right out of your lungs.
Meanwhile, he's going to die of respiratory failure from all the hairspray he's inhaled over the years. Bill Rancic is here. He's the first and the best apprentice. Evidently, because all the other winners of The Apprentice have faded into the woodwork, but not Bill. Bill up front.
I lucked out.
It's got nothing to do with luck.
Bill's really laughing it up at your jokes about Trump because he can't stand
them. Yeah, that's not true, actually.
Do you call him Mr. Trump?
Sometimes.
What's with that? Why does everybody have to oblige to call him Mr. Trump?
That's how, that's kind of how it was in the beginning, and it stuck. So everyone just follows suit, I think.
I have a helicopter to take to a larger helicopter. That's how you know you're rich. You got to take a miniature helicopter. When you're in that helicopter, that's when you've arrived.
That's good living. Although the plane that he has is amazing. I mean, it's a palace in the
Cessna
sky.
Cessna single seater.
Yeah. The Trump one.
It's got Subaru engine in it, air cooled.
Yeah, it's 20 years old.
You've done the Trump airplane obviously multiple times, right? Now what is that? One of those G4s?
No, it's a 727.
Wow.
That he gutted. I mean, it's got bedrooms and bar and you name
coming
it.
Up like a custom van.
It's a lot of shag carpeting in there.
Nice.
It's pretty
sunset
nice.
Painted on the side.
Sure. And so you've done the obviously the limos, the stretch limos. You've done the helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's that flying over Manhattan in that helicopter?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's you know, I was a little scared at first. I've never really been in a helicopter before, but
right.
It was you know, it's a neat experience.
Yeah, as far as getting through Manhattan, especially rush hour, that's about the only way you're going to do it and make any time. Bill, I saw last night on The Apprentice, now down to four.
To four, right.
I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, they're guys like Bill who look very impressive, and there's been other years when, like, Randall looked impressive, but I'm not sure about the four that are left this year. I mean, Trump has to be saying to himself, well, I'll hire one of them, but as soon as I get them, I'll just bury them behind some desk somewhere, right?
I'll tell you, you know, it's been a tough season, and a lot of the good competitors, you know, made, you know, fatal mistakes early on, and I was surprised. And we had one guy who was a member of Mensa. He was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
his biggest mistake was announcing that though, because
he might as well have painted a bullseye right on his
Trump forehead. Had a chip on his shoulder, obviously, because he didn't get high SAT scores. For someone from Mensa, that sure wasn't very smart. And he just kept yelling at him. I, by the way, went to Wharton Business School, the greatest business school ever. Both my children both went there, and their unborn children already graduated from Wharton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he loves Wharton.
Yeah, no, it was surprising, though, that some of these guys, you know, some of the mistakes that they've made were mistakes that were made in season 2, season 3, season 4, and I was sitting there and thinking, mm-hmm. Have you not ever watched an episode of the show before you came on? I mean, they're doing the same thing over and over again.
This strategy, the part that always kills me at the boardroom is where they're sitting there and Trump is laying into somebody, and you can tell he's moments, syllables away from firing this person, because he gets himself up into a lather, he starts getting fired up. And he's about to say, you're fired, and all of a sudden, somebody on the other side of the table pipes up. And he'll give him the one quick look, like, shush, and he'll keep going, and then they'll pipe up again, and then you see his chair swing around. Yeah. And he's like, you know what? You do like to talk, don't you? You can talk in the cab ride on the way home, and he fires him right on the spot. Like, you shut up!
And that's happened multiple times over the last three seasons. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me.
I am going, I swear to you, and you tell me, you know more about business than I do, but I got a couple of kids on the way, and everyone giving their kids advice about what to do, what to say. My biggest advice is going to be button your lip, Junior. Do not pipe up.
Less is more.
Starts off with that a-hole in junior high where the teacher on a Friday afternoon is saying, well, everyone enjoy their weekend, and remember, it's going to be hot out there, so put your sunscreen, and then the a-hole raises. Is there any homework? Any homework? Should we? Any reading? Any required reading? Oh, yes. Okay, grab We the People. Oh, Christ. I want to kill this
kid
now.
Beat down.
Yes, that kid. But that kid then goes into the boardroom, goes into the office room, and asks the same dumb questions that gets him and everyone else PO'd at.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I have this question for Bill. Yeah.
Yes.
We were talking the other day, Ace, we were talking about who you would most like to trade places with in life, you know, mm-hmm. what person. You have to be right at the top of the list, Bill. Very wealthy, I assume. Mm-hmm. Handsome devil, yes, Teresa?
Yeah. Bill has one of the nicest sets of teeth I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Still single, Bill.
I am single, yes.
The women.
And he's looking. I understand that you're looking.
I'm 35 years old now, so it's time to slow the train down a little bit.
Right.
But it's been a wild 3 or 4 years.
You know what I got to say? It's been a good time.
By the way, we have some Chichu Temu songs, but that
maybe
people
Bill
are calling in. I'm going to guess he doesn't. Ryan. Nope. Let's see. Oh, I pressed the wrong one. Ryan.
Yeah.
You have a Chichu Temu song?
I actually have two.
All right. Let's just hear half of one.
One's a jolly festive tune from the Christmas season, and the other is a Madonna cover.
All right. Let's hear it.
Do you want both of them or just one?
Just start singing, please.
All right. I'll start singing. Here we go. Here's the Madonna tune. Like a tissue. Ooh. Touch for the very mission.
Maybe the Christmas carol might be better.
Wow.
That
was horrible, but I still got wood. Sadly. Yeah, so what's the Christmas one?
All right, the Christmas one. Here we go. I'm dreaming.
dreaming of Michoud and Tissue.
Wow. I never thought I'd say this, but Dave, you're really talented, man. I swore I'd never say that on the air.
Well, listen, there's $400 in Overstock.com loot on the line. I hope someone else can call in and beat that out.
Because we would have to give it to that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me just try line four. Truxton.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Do you have a Chichu Temu song for us?
Due to one of my favorite bands, Cheap Trick.
All right.
Here it goes. I want Chichu and Temu. I want Chichu and Temu. I'd love Chichu and Temu. I want Chichu and Temu. I'm begging for Chichu and Temu.
I'm going to give it a solid 6.8, maybe.
I think that's a leader in the clubhouse, at least. How say you, Fish Tank?
Oh, let's see.
Fish Tank's with me.
Yeah, but also because there's only two guys in the clubhouse and one of them is retarded.
So
yeah.
Be it.
Right, I'm saying Trump would have wagged
redundant.
His finger at that. Yes. Bill Rancic here. Def Rat Guy coming in. So, Bill, you're still working for the Trump organization. You're on TV. Jeez, I have so many questions. How about the Trump kids? How about Ivanka? Is that the girl?
Yeah.
She's on there now.
She's pretty.
Can't figure out whether she's hot or not.
She is hot, absolutely.
She is?
Mm-hmm.
She's hot. And his son seems like a load, though.
You know, nice guy.
Say something bad about him.
Tool. You know he's a tool.
He's a tool.
Nice guy.
Look, he's like...
a nice guy, pretty face.
He's essentially Trump at 27, though, which is not a good sign. Well, married a hot chick, though.
He married a hot mama.
Oh, that's difficult.
And he went to Wharton. He's a graduate of Wharton, the greatest business school ever.
Yeah, she went to Wharton also. I think that's required.
I think when your last name is Trump, you get into Wharton with a 2.0 GPA.
Yes, when you're attending the library with your dad's name on it, usually you get into the university that actually sponsored the cafeteria, the football stadium, and the library.
I think Bill needs a lesson from you, Ace, on Trump's Trump.
That's right. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, you just say it twice.
You just say it twice.
Right. So you do that thing where you go, well, you know, Ivanka's great. She's dynamic. She's vivacious. Randall, what a go-getter. And by the way, he's got your back. He's a buddy. And Donald's Donald. Say twice. We do the a-hole math, and they don't give
it
you
translates.
Any crap because it doesn't... You
right.
Didn't, actually say anything
it's
bad
a,
about
it. It's a safe way of saying something bad about
That's
someone.
Right. All right. Yeah. Def Rat Guy's Def Rat Guy. We're going to bring him in a second. We'll do a little interview. Bill will play along with us, see if he has what it takes. He's a fifth-year senior over
really?
At USC.
I was a fifth-year senior at Loyola.
He's going to... Oh, yeah. So you're local.
Well, Loyola in Chicago.
Oh, okay. He's going to head out into the working world soon. He's going to need his skills to nail these interviews, so we'll have you help him on that. After this.
Adam Carolla. He's as funny as he thinks he is.
All right, Ozzy. How about Antonio Banderas?
Antonio Banderas.
Nice. How about Roberto Clemente?
Roberto Clemente.
Nice, nice. Geraldo Rivera.
Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah. Said with gusto.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show. It's time for the Adam Carolla Show to check in with Maverick, the Def Frat Guy.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
Why don't we get drunk?
Hell yeah.
Maverick in studio, 50-year senior over at SC.
You're fired.
Good stuff. Proud member of the T-Cast, Bill Rancic. Also in the first, the best, the only, in my heart, in the hearts of millions of Americans, the only apprentice. Now, on the show, we're in the Trump, worked into the fold of the Trump organization seamlessly, doing the big construction projects. Here's a guy who knows business. He's an entrepreneur. He started his own business. Now he's working for Trump and doing a great job. Television star. You, fifth-year senior, going to be graduating soon, going to head out into the real world. This guy could give you some tips, yes?
You're fired.
that was funny the first time, but you probably can't just say that, you know, over and over. right. Well, if you don't have something other than that, you can say it again.
It looked like he did.
Yeah, if you... I mean, better saying that a third time than not saying anything.
I really need to get a job.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand. Once you... Now, you haven't found out if you graduated yet, have you?
Dude, it's really not looking good at all.
Really? So you may be a six-year senior?
Well, there was a chance that I could graduate in December.
Right. Oh, I see.
But now they say the chances of that are slim and none.
Well, what happened with that thesis? Just last week you were in here, it sounded like you were off to a good start with that.
I was in here butting my ass.
Well, Maverick, do you have a resume made up or anything?
And what?
resume. Some, you know, list of accomplishments, and you can't have funneling a six-pack at the top. You know, it's got to be work experience, that kind of stuff.
Any special skills?
Yeah. I worked in a supermarket one summer, and I was the meat manager.
All right. All right, there's something. That's... And I know you told me off the air in high school you're captain of the speech and debate club.
But, dude, I wasn't really the meat manager, but I would manage meat.
I don't know if you want that on your resume.
Put it on the shelf.
Meat manager.
Oh, I thought there was a guy named Meat who was one of your employees.
No, I managed meat.
Right, right. You weren't the meat manager, but you did manage to put out the deli spreads and that kind of stuff.
I handled it. I managed the meat.
I understand. I understand that. Liked it better when he was saying you're fired. All right. So Bill over here is one of the most recognizable faces in business, an expert. And not only on the show, on TV, but off as well. Perhaps you could guide Maverick through the interviewing process. Bill, would you like to play along with us?
I would love to.
What are you looking for, by the way, when somebody... You interview people looking for jobs all the time, right? What are you looking for?
I think, you know, you want to make sure that they have the ability to learn, which is first and foremost. So I think you clearly have that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a sponge.
Clearly. He's just soaking it all up right now.
Yeah.
But I think that's important. You know, I think you've got to have that ability, and you certainly have to have the desire, which you clearly have.
Mm-hmm. I think getting a job, like going to a sorority party and really wanting to get laid.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know if that's a great...
I'll tell you.
Is that going to be a good answer, though, in an interview?
The best thing that I did with my career with Donald Trump was, I guess, about the second week on the job. He called me up and he asked me to do him a favor. I said, of course. And he wanted me to fly with him to Quito, Ecuador to be a judge of the Miss Universe contest.
Wow.
I said, of course.
Yeah.
So we get there. We're supposed to stay for 3 days. The second day we wake up, he says, we're going to fly back right after the competition and go back to New York. Well, there's this huge party after the competition with all the Miss Universe girls.
Sure.
And I wanted to stay.
Sure.
So I'm 2 weeks on the job, so I'm kind of oscillating back and forth all day. And I pull him aside. I said, Donald, I think I'm going to fly home on Wednesday because I want to go to this party with all the Miss Universe contestants. And he kind of paused and he looked at me and he said, Bill, good choice.
Yeah.
I said, I'd do the same thing if I were you. So I think he was surprised that you showed
a little moxie.
So I think there's nothing wrong with that. Sorority parties,
well,
go for it.
Closer with the ladies or closer in business, either
right.
way. It's
both?
The same part of your brain you
right.
use.
You have to be a closer.
ABC.
Right.
Yep.
You have to seal the deal.
That's
yeah.
All right. So pretend you're interviewing for a job with Bill, you know, ask the questions, you know, embellish the resume, well, however it goes, you know. You want to take a... What's that, Bresca?
Well, I was going to do that. One out. Why don't Def Rat Guy, why don't you answer, and then maybe Bill, you can critique his answer.
Okay.
Here's a regular sort of interview question. Maverick, what are your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
I can bench about 180.
Right. Mm. No, we're not... Not necessarily talking about physical strengths, but you
in
know
business,
what do you bring to the business environment?
I find a lot of college graduates these days are not as skilled as me. For example, a lot of them couldn't hit the side of a barn with a potato gun.
You're saying you're very accurate.
With that potato gun, I can hit a lot of stuff.
Right.
And that comes in handy in the business environment.
Sure. Yeah, it's a war. out there. How would you describe yourself? I guess that'd be a good way to start the process.
Usually I would wear a t-shirt. Right now I have my visor on, basketball short.
Yeah, again.
Flip-flop. Oh, and my ball bag is pierced.
No.
I think when people say, how would you describe yourself? They're looking for answers like honest, tenacious, hardworking, not what you're physically wearing to the interview. You know what I mean? It's not, they're not doing a police composite sketch.
Oh, okay. Damn. Fun-loving, loyal, a good guy. All right. Loves to have a good time.
Oh man. And like when some like if Bill were to ask you what you know about the company, about the Trump Organization, for instance, would you be prepared for something like that? Do your homework, your research?
Moose told me whenever they ask you a question like that, you turn it around. So I would say, tell me why I should work for you.
Interesting.
Wow.
Right. Best defense is a good offense. Yeah. I like that. Get Bill on the ropes.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Which one did you ask? What skills do you have to offer the company?
Bro, I already said the potato gun.
Can I ask a question? Because I find this is the most difficult question in a job interview when they give you, well, what is your biggest weakness?
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
Oh, yeah. That's sad. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I know it sounds corny, but I would really like to be running my own bar in Cancun.
It'd be nice if you're still with the organization you're interviewing with,
right,
though, you know?
It's,
yeah, you
right.
want to have a little long-term goal with the company.
This would be an offshoot of the company.
Well, you'd branch out.
And finally, I guess Bill would want to know, why should we hire you? Would that be a question you'd ask, Bill?
I think that's a fair question. Or you know what, give me three adjectives that best describe yourself.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-oh. He wasn't looking
at it. Fun-loving.
Yeah. Fun-loving.
All right.
Loyal.
Heavyweight, right? I mean, you can hold your beer.
That too, but I was going to say, like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
I can be your best friend, but I can also be your worst enemy.
You don't want to threaten
again. You threatening the guys interviewing you probably not a great plan.
A little anger management in the office.
But I will be loyal. If someone messes with the company,
right,
you'll take them down.
Hell yeah!
The potato gun up.
All right, Bill, what'd you think?
Well, I think we got a good start here. We got some, you know. I think Maverick. Well, Maverick's Maverick.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, good note to go out on. Bill Rancic, everyone. The Apprentice. Well, let's see. I watched it last night, so that'd be Monday nights at 9. But last night it ran at 10.
With the presidential. Deal or no deal.
Ah. God damn Howie Mandel.
How much does Trump hate Howie Mandel?
You know, I don't know if
I'd like to suck the air right out of that Jew's lungs.
About that much?
Yes.
Howie Mandel is Howie Mandel. No, it's good for The Apprentice because Howie Mandel's show, it's
strong lead in.
Power.
It's crazy. All right, Bill, nice job.
I appreciate it.
Have fun banging contestants for Bill. Beauty pageants.
Or anyone he wants, basically.
Bill. Need advice. Oh, sorry. I was going to give a quick plug. You're giving out advice this next segment, Def Frat Guy. So if he needs some advice, he'll give that out. But go ahead, Maverick.
Is it true Donald Trump was an AD5?
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that for you. I'll say yes.
I was a Sammy at Wharton. It didn't suck.
It's all good.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Def Rat Guy after this.
Can't get enough? Check out Adam on the web at adamcarolla.com.
I never got past high school math, so I'm not sure what pi is exactly, but any equation that involves dessert, I'm in for.
Adam will never run out of opinions. The Adam Carolla Show.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. Well, he likes chicks, sorority girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up, hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a death rat guy.
Maverick.
Death rat guy.
Chick.
Death rat guy.
Deaf rat guy in the house.
What's up, bro?
Newfound confidence ever since he got his potato gun rifled. Baby has incredible deadly accuracy now.
Did you learn something from The Apprentice, Bill Rancic?
He seemed like a really good guy.
Mm. Right.
You two, at the very least, if it doesn't lead to professional success with him, at least the two of you out on the town with the sorority girls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I can see you guys partying.
Yeah. I want to get a deaf frat guy t-shirt to the Donald.
maybe he'll wear it on the show instead of those pink ties. These deaf frat guy t-shirts don't suck. All right. You should do some PSAs, deaf frat guy.
That definitely wouldn't suck.
Yeah, be nice. Yeah, see if we can do one like secondhand smoke. It's a first-hand killer. You know, something like that.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
Yeah, say something bad about secondhand smoke. You know, maybe we can do a campaign.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know about...
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly a public service announcement. You know, I was thinking one about, you know, not leaving your kids unattended in the pool or something like that. Not getting wasted.
Friends don't let friends beer goggle.
All right, well, we'll work on it. But if you have another one, it, you know, be great. Be ready there, Brian, in case something slips out. Go ahead. What do you got there, Freka?
Breakfast of champions.
All right, you'll be dispatching some advice now. People call in. This is a segment we've been doing for a few weeks now. Why not let the deaf rat guy, again, he's always looking for a role in the show. We've tried him out with varied degrees of success, doing some sports or
news.
doing some traffic, some news. But I think the advice column,
he's hit his stride here. He's like a Fraser Crane or Dr. Phil type.
Seems to be what his gift is, right.
Yeah.
Maynard?
Yeah.
You have some advice you want from the deaf rat guy?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right.
I was wondering what I can do to convince my girlfriend to let me have anal sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a similar predicament.
Really? With Ashley?
Not with Ashley. With her roommate, Devin Brisket.
Wow. And which Ashley are we talking about?
Well, there's Ashley the Trident.
Right.
And there's Ashley who is shaved down below.
Right. This one was the Trident?
This was not Ashley, bro. It was Devin.
Right, but her roommate. Which Ashley's roommate?
The Trident.
Okay, all right. Don't get angry. I'm just looking for clarity.
Sorry. I wanted to do...
Yeah.
We had gone all the way.
Right.
In short, Maynard, I had done this chick 6 weeks to Sunday. But I had not knocked on the back door yet.
Right.
So you got no advice for me?
Hold on. He's getting to it.
One night I wanted to do it. And she said, no, not yet. Let's wait until we get to Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I gently teased. I said to her, when we get to Cabo and you have 9 or 10 beers in you, I am going to go. And
oh, did they bleep that out?
No.
All right.
This made her excited.
Right.
and it was one of the most magical evenings of my life.
Right. So you're saying if you show her the velvety tongue, you gotta talk a little dirty.
The hotel manager came in the next morning, and he thought there was being a deer was being slaughtered or something. He came to check if everything was all right, but all it was with the screams of Devin's pleasure.
Well, that is sound advice. I'll tell you, any corporation would be lucky to have Def Rat Guy on board. Tell you that right now.
He's a go-getter.
I mean, if he can convince Devin to do anal,
I'm just saying, that's all it is. I have a product, whether it's a washing machine or my own penis, I'm trying to sell it to you.
Can-do attitude.
That's right.
When Moose was going out with Ashley.
Right.
Which Ashley?
The one who is shaved down below.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not the tried out.
Right.
He made a bet with her. It was like, if the Trojans win by 10 points, he knew that they were going to win because he had some friends on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's right.
The next thing he knew, he threw Ashley a bar of Irish Spring soap and said, get ready.
It's romantic.
It's time to drive.
Wow, who says chivalry is dead?
He wanted her clean back there. I see.
I mean, Def Rat Guy, do you recommend that as a way to get anal, making sports bets that you know you can win?
Definitely.
We have another question. Brett?
Yeah, hi.
You need some advice from Def Rat Guy?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one.
All right.
The other day, I came back from a trip from Rhode Island, and I discovered that my roommate had stolen my prescription drugs and urinated on my computer. And
wow.
He had, I don't know, just like spread lubricant on my dresser and everything, and I really didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, bad roommate in general.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about computers to know if urine helps or hurts them, but stealing a guy's meds, you don't do that to a man. What was the medication?
They were just antidepressants.
Mm. Yeah, sounds like you need them. What do you say, Mav? Some guy's getting into your stash. He's doing number one on your computer. What do you do?
I sound like a broken record here. Bro, put the anal gun.
The problem, it was midnight, and I didn't have a potato gun on me.
Why not? Nowadays, in fact, I want to market this. I should have talked to The Apprentice about this. I want to market a line of discreet potato gun.
Right. A little pistol.
That can be discreetly tucked under an armpit or in a belt loop for those awkward moments at midnight when your roommate pees on your computer.
Yeah, like the Derringer, the single tater. It just shoots a tater tot. It's right. Only one shot. You keep it in your sock. It's like in the old days when the guy would get accused of cheating at the poker game on the Westerns. He'd reach into his boot, pull out the Derringer. Yeah, you need one of those. It's not enough just to have the full potato gun. That's 5 foot. You need the sawed-off one. Yeah.
It's better to have a potato gun and not need it than need one and not have it.
Right.
Wait, that could be a good PSA.
That's right.
You.
That's right. Yeah, why don't you say it again? This time, sell it, and we'll be ready with it. Here we go.
It's better to have a potato gun and not need it than need one and not have a potato gun.
Nice. The more you know.
It's useful.
Yeah. All right. So you're saying if a roommate gets out of line, show him the business end of the potato gun.
There's something that was interesting about this call, however.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, a guy would pee around the room to establish dominant.
Right. Like a dog.
When Smitty, Moose, and Mike F were living together, Moose would spritz all over the room. It was nothing personal. It was just his way of saying, I am the top dog.
Right.
Right.
Stay away from my stuff. And all the girls, I have first choice with them.
Right. But on to the guy's electronics, you know, computers, DVD players, things like that. I would argue if you have to mark, you know, a beanbag chair or a little corner of your carpet, that's one thing. But urinating on high-end electronics, probably not a great plan.
There had to be some rationale to it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you wouldn't just do it
I'll
for
tell
no
what,
reason.
The deaf rat guy, we know he's a communications major and everything, but you must have taken some psychology courses or something. You're very good at this.
Mm-hmm. Psych 101 always had the hottest babes in it. I've taken it 3 times.
Oh, man. The more you know. Maybe that's why he's a fifth-year senior. All right, we got to take ourselves a break. Maverick, nice job as usual.
Thanks, bro.
We need your Chichu Temu songs. We got $400 to give away. Dave has played his. Now we need to hear from you. Also, news and sports. The Ed is going to stop by and say hi to us in the flesh. You know him from doing his reviews from Las Vegas, reviewing Desperate Housewives, or The Desperate Housewives, as he calls it. We'll talk to him in the flesh. All still coming up on the show.
Adam Carolla. He's as funny as he thinks he is.
Kathy Griffin, can we do a little free association with
you
here?
I love it.
Charlie Sheen.
Wouldn't you be afraid to even be in the same room with him without wearing a hazmat? Like, he's got to be carrying viruses, exotic
strains. You feel like a 30-pound crab could leap from his groin and wrestle you to the ground.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
Chee-choo! Chee-choo! Jonathan, chee-choo! 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 Jonathan, chee-choo!
It's good stuff.
Chee-choo.
Chee-choo. Well, that's our chee-choo song, and then we have the chee-choo Temu song.
This is probably the best of them right here. This is the most beloved.
Definitely a classic. You get $400 if you can give us the best set.
Chee-choo,
this is my favorite.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were a fan of the Chee-choo or Temu.
No, this is my favorite.
That's the way it should be.
Point is,
this is Adam's favorite.
This is stirring. Yeah.
Slap of puck and twist of skate. On a sheet of ice, I watch you play.
I never knew the real lyrics.
And I wait for Chee-choo.
A lot of good ones to choose
from. Yeah, a lot of great stuff. All right, $400 is yours if you can do the best at the Chee-choo and the Temu.
Overstock.com money.
Right. Def Rat Guy, Mav?
I want that $400.
Right, but that's not yours. It's not yours to buy for.
You said it was mine to lose.
No. I said you should get lost. That's different. Yeah, just hold back for a second. Let's talk. I promised some of the callers that they could get in on this. Let's see. Go to line 5. Tony?
Cha-cha-cha-chee-choo, chee-choo and
Temu. Little Star Wars.
Chee-choo-temu,
well, you know...
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, Sheck's a huge Star Wars
fan.
He's
playing to the judges.
Yeah. Right. Probably not a great song, but again...
That's good stuff, guys.
All right, Tony. Hang on a second. You know, we can't just take your word for it. We have to hear an actual good product. Let me try another one. David?
One of them plays for the Mighty Ducks, and the other one plays for the Desert Sharks, and everyone knows their glorious name. Oh, 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 Chee-choo, Temu. Oh, oh, oh,
sweet child of mine.
It's, I'm sour on it.
Yeah, that's probably not great. Let's take one more. Def Rat Guy, I don't know why you're hanging out.
You're not in the running here.
At first, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Now he's singing.
I kept thinking I could never win the cup without you by my side.
Pretty good.
But then I spent so many nights just thinking how Chichu had done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along.
This is him singing, I Will Survive?
Yeah. Listen, you do a lot of things well, Def Rec Guy, but your handicap limits you in certain areas. I just have to be honest with you. Singing, probably not your strength. And again, I just can't give the $400 to you. So if you could, you know, head back to campus, go say hi to the Teaks, get to work on the thesis, we could move on here.
Part of me. Wants to turn you off. Part of me even wants to get that potato gun out and put a spud in your ass.
Wait a minute.
You probably are armed, right?
But the other part of me really needs a job.
I understand.
You're torn internally.
Yeah. And during the interview process, don't talk about the two parts. Just focus on the part that wants the job. You know what I mean? The part that wants to F the guy's wife. Probably ought to be quiet about that part. Listen, Mav, I like you, and I'm trying to do what I can for you, but you're not the entire show. We have to take some calls.
I'm out of here, bro.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
No. Okay.
Just let him go.
Okay. All right, Mav. Russ, gotta make sure he's all right.
Where's my stuff?
All right. he's upset. I don't want him driving angry. He's already drunk. Let's see. Chris?
Hey.
Hey, what do you have for us?
Think Enter Sandman. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Say your prayers, Ochichu. Don't forget to aim who to include both of you. I tune you in when the game begins. Keep me full of sin when the gambling begins.
It's solid. I didn't hear as much Chichu and Temu as I would have liked, but it's interesting that Sheck's songs are all Chichu and Temu. Our listeners are calling up, they're doing the lyrics, they're changing the lyrics to hockey lyrics and working it in, but it's not the main thrust of the song.
Right.
It's interesting. Different angle.
They're more clever than I am, so be it.
Okay. Solid, Chris.
All right.
What can I say?
So he's in the top, top two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a front runner,
the
definitely.
Cheap Trick song was strong earlier in the show.
Right. We'll hear that in a second. Nico?
Hey, what's up?
How say you?
I got a little Hotel California Chichu Temu style.
All right. Well, I guess we got that one.
Wow.
Do I wait? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's on the Orange County Highway, cool wind in my hair, exit off of Patella, hockey pucks in the air, up ahead in the distance, I see the yellow head pond, gotta go get my Chichu. And Temu on. Who do I go for? The Chichu or the Temu? A cold Chichu. A cold Temu.
Nice.
How can one choose between the Chichu or the Temu? I hope it ends in a tie. Yeah, 5-5.
Nice. Mm. Nice, Nico.
For my vote, that's the best one so far. Well, besides this one.
Fly me to Temu and let me skate among Chichu.
Yeah.
Let me see what hockey's like in Anaheim with you.
But to be fair, you were in a recording studio with a full 55-piece orchestra behind you.
Right.
I mean, these guys are just singing cold into a telephone.
I guess that's true. That's a good point.
All right, let's try one more before we go to break. Aaron?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What do you got for us?
I got Song 2 by Blur.
All right.
Mm. He's got the best name in all of hockey. Please win the next game. Please win the next game. You gotta win tonight. Maybe even start a fight. I wanna see you beat Temu. All I ever wanted was to meet you.
Wow. Strong.
Well, that's a championship effort.
Yeah.
Worthy of the Stanley Cup.
I like it. Aaron, are we gonna award it? We're gonna give the $400 out here? Whew.
Man, this is tough. Everyone hang on. We need to take a break. We're coming back with news and sports. We'll announce the winner, and then we'll do some news and sports. Teresa, you got a little tease on the news for us?
Yeah, CNN made a big mistake last night during Bush's live address. Mm-hmm. We are going to give that a listen to. And Maxim's Hot 100 list out. Somebody Adam hates makes number one. And poor Jennifer Aniston, very low. We'll get to that.
All right, hang on. We'll give out the $400 of the Chichu Temu money. And we'll hear news. We'll do sports all after this. Did a competition with my mom and Dave's mom and my most smoked my mom.
Last Friday on the Adam Carolla Show with $1,000 on the line.
How do I sign off each show? What is my word?
Mahalo.
Wow. Mo Damashek. You are the queen of all moms.
But then, an unexpected twist.
Mo has generously not accepted the $1,000. No. It will roll over in the kitty and be worth $2,000.
Oh. Wow.
Next week.
It's time to hit the books, or at least listen a little harder, because this Friday, someone's going to walk away with $2,000, and all you got to do to win is beat Dave's mom.
This is tough.
Will someone win the cash, or will Mo Damashek get another chance to feed the kitty? Find out Friday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Slap of puck and twist of skate. On a sheet of ice, I watch you play. And I wait for Chichu. Chichu or Temu? Chichu or Temu? Oh, I can't choose.
You know what I was thinking about?
Chichu or Temu?
We're going to pick our best Chichu Temu song, give out $400 from Overstock.com. Tell me if this is strange, or you guys remember this growing up. As a kid, I remember, and it made me think if I was a dog, I would howl at a certain point in that song. But as a kid, I could remember fire trucks going down the street and the dogs howling. So remember, that was always entertaining to me. The fire truck would be going down the main avenue and off on the side streets. Anyone with an earshot, I guess dogs have pretty good ears, just be that, oh, dogs would be howling. I don't hear that anymore. Do dogs, are they not affected by the sirens, or are the sirens different? I know it sounds weird and maybe apropos to nothing. This just reminded me of it, but do you guys experience this too? Did it used to be that way in your childhood? And do dogs not do as much howling as they used to at the high-pitched frequencies? Thank you for illustrating that, Brian.
Well, I grew up next door to a fire station in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So, all day and all night.
That had to be a misery.
It was a little bit of a misery.
Yeah.
Dogs barking. In my neighborhood now, in Koreatown, mm-hmm. everybody's got a dog and one of my neighbors has a chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and corn growing.
Right. Dogs are considered livestock, and the chicken, ironically, is a pet.
I think you actually might be right.
Chicken brings him his slippers every morning, goes out and gets the newspaper, goes nuts when the mailman comes. Are the dogs howling in your town?
One starts, and then 50.
They all start. So they're howling as much as they used to. Maybe
more.
I just moved out of a crappy neighborhood.
That's what it is, because I live in a ghetto, and there's dogs everywhere.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah, in the ghetto's bad. On the ghetto's fine, and under the ghetto's good, but in the ghetto,
is bad.
That's tough.
Of all the prepositions.
All right, so I'm just making that up. They howl as much as they ever did. Yeah, I just moved to a better neighborhood.
You're no longer, with the people, with your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, no, I don't. I call them the little people.
Right.
Let's move forward then. $400 were given out. Now, we have two left. We have Nico and Aaron.
We've whittled it down. Nico did, let's hear a little of Nico's real fast.
Well, she's going to give it to us. Nico?
Yeah.
Give us, I'm sort of torn between you and Aaron. You do the Hotel California, Aaron's doing the Blur song. Give us a little shot of your song again.
All right, just like the chorus maybe?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Little girl, there's a Chichu at the table. Go Chichu, go Temu. I can answer, but you're a teacher all the time. I hope it ends in a tie. Yes, I'll defy.
Nice job, Nico, and selling it again.
Yeah.
All right, now let's hear from Aaron, who has the Blur song. Aaron?
What's up?
Give us another shot of your song, please.
Sure. He's got the best name in all of hockey. Please win the next game. Please win the next game. You know you gotta win tonight. Maybe even start a fight. I wanna see you beat Tamu. All I ever wanted was to meet you.
The Cockney accent really sells it too. By
well,
the way,
Nico was dynamite, but in my book, that's your winner. Right?
Yeah, how can you not give it to Aaron?
Yeah, you can't not give it to Aaron.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, great. You know, that song, I love that song, by the way, but Blur, biggest pack of a-holes in the world.
Why? What's wrong with Blur?
They were on Loveline once, and it's just like, they're like, the Brit bands are either the nicest guys in the world, or they're just burnt out, drunk a-holes. you either get the... You know, the Gallagher brothers, or you get just the sweetest, you know, guy saying cheers all the time. Cheers, no, cheers, cheers.
Cheers,
no,
my,
or you just Governor. Get the guys like, ugh. Blur, they're named after Blur because that is the sound they make. Just blah. They're really blah, but they got changed to Blur. Oh, a-holes, a pox I wish upon them. All right, so Aaron.
What's up?
$400 of Overstock.com money if you can get to the station in under 4 minutes.
Don't let the deaf rat guy find you in a dark alley, though. He wants that $400.
I'm dying to meet him, actually.
Yeah, he's easy on the eyes. He's tough on the ears, but he's easy on the eyes.
He is cute.
All right, hang on.
Appreciate it.
Aaron, we'll give you that money. Nice job, everybody. There are no losers, only people that didn't win.
Well, I think by definition, if you're writing songs about Chichu and Tamu, you might be a loser.
Even if you win, you lose.
Believe me, I feel like a loser.
Because sometimes it's all about the show.
Yeah. Hotoverstock.com, Fraulein. All right, we will take a break. Then the news. Then the sports. After this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Comedy, opinions, celebrities, news, sports, and so much more.
This is Tori Spelling. You're listening to the insert adjective here. Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I get it.
He's as funny as he thinks he is. The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got some news. We got some sports. The Ed still waiting in the wings patiently. First, we have Eugene calling from Spain. Eugene? Yeah. Hello. Eugene, what's up?
Wow. I can't believe I'm talking to you, Adam.
I'm talking to you, Eugene. What are you doing in Spain?
Oh, nothing. Just living here.
That's where you live.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Bad connection.
I live in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you hear? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. How do you know who I am, and how do you know the show?
A friend in L.A. told me about Loveline, so I listened to your last 2 years on Loveline, and then I listen to you here on your show.
On the Internet.
How about that, Carolla? Wow. You're global.
It's nice.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Wow.
Hello, Eugene.
You're global, too. You big fans of American hockey and all the Timu and Chichu songs we're doing?
Oh, yeah. I love them songs. Yeah, I love them. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen.
Last one. Yeah?
Yeah. I know we have sort of a bad connection, maybe.
I think it's a time delay because it's an international call.
Maybe
it's
a little delay, but... I'll just bulldoze and talk for the entire family here, or better yet, America, when we say that's what this Internet can be used for. Sure, it's mainly used for pornographers and pedophiles to attract underage children to have sex with in vans up on blocks in their mom's driveway, but it can also be used to transport ideas across the oceans and into minds that wouldn't otherwise have access to them. Thank you for bridging that gap, Eugene.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
All right. Well, keep listening. Send him out a T-shirt, Briska. All right.
That call just cost him about $68.
Yeah. Well, the delay was driving me insane. Another quick call here. Oops. No, this one. Fish tank.
Hello, good morning.
You have a poem about Teresa?
I do. Am I on with Eugene?
Yeah, we put him on hold.
All right. How say you, fish tank?
But can I ask, since I'm new here, what is the fish tank?
The fish tank. The fish tank is about Randy Jackson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for listening to the show, Teresa. But
right.
The fish tank is that Randy Jackson on Idol, he stole the dog pound from Arsenio.
Yeah,
right. Well, what do you say, dog pound?
Okay.
He swiped it. So what's good for the jerk is good for the gander. And I wanted a dog pound on my own. Bruska said, oh, we don't have the budget for it. So all he gave me was this crummy fish tank. How say you, fish tank? Yeah.
By the way, it's nice to know that there are no stupid questions.
Wow. Shame her.
All right, Fish Tank is calling in with an homage.
Go ahead, Fish Tank.
From this is from the internet, the Adam Carolla official message board, at mm-hmm. which that Teresa was the favorite.
Oh, yes, thank you again, everybody, on there.
Okay, so Briska gave me 45 seconds for this, so let me run through it real quick. 'Twas the morn before Strasser and all through the airwaves. Not a live voice was broadcast, just an ACS replay. The commuters were rising to coffee or cola, while somewhere, Jim Bruska polished his giant areola. Those ripping their podcast still snorting their beds, while words like sandwich and choo-choo roared in their heads. Meanwhile, I bum shaving and enjoyed a long morning crap and wondered what random person would speak my news recap. It started my clunker and spun the dial towards Ace. A riot that an atheist, I had placed my morning faith. My car came to life on 3 of 4 cylinders, and I lurched off in my mobile church of an avid Ace listener. The sun had just risen, yet clouds cast a dark leer. I had a little hope that my morning would even get clear. When what to my wondering ears did I glean but the sweet dulcet tones of my Jewish news queen? Aww. With the voice of an angel and my heart went aflutter in anticipation of news by Strasser and words she would utter. Now Missouri, now Paris, now cruise and soon idle on Bush, on Florida or Germany and their version brothels. At the top of the hour with news twice a day, we can finally say goodbye to those nether birds of prey.
Here's wow.
All right, that's about a minute 30.
Let's do miss those birds.
So good.
Yeah.
How can you cut them off, Brisket?
I'll tell you how. I just push this button. Nice job, nice Fish Tank.
Yeah, thank you.
We get
Fish
the gist.
Tank.
We get the gist. She's great. We get it.
Thank you.
You feel good now, T?
Yep, and it's not often I do.
Well,
frankly.
Aww. Now is your chance to shine, baby. Now is your chance to do the news.
I'm ready.
Teresa Strasser with the news.
President Bush said last night in a primetime speech from the Oval Office that he would send as many as 6,000 National Guard troops to guard the United States border with Mexico. I could play you part of that speech, but instead, when CNN tried to broadcast the speech, they cut in a little early and accidentally caught President Bush rehearsing. Here it is.
And in recent weeks, Americans have seen those emotions on display. On the streets of major cities,
Jeff, I believe.
Well, he's waiting for the laughter. That's what you do.
Pause for laughter.
Yeah, if you're doing a comedy routine, you got to pause for laughter there.
The pool, network pool inadvertently went to the president as he was.
Wolf Blitzer kind of carries it off there.
45 seconds away from the
yeah.
Quick point
then,
if I may.
Let me ask this, too.
Yes.
Every politician, and I see Villaraigosa give his speeches out here. He's probably the worst. Bush is probably second. It just keeps going and going. There are guys that were better at it. Clinton was pretty good at it. Reagan was pretty good at it. A lot of guys, most politicians now act like they're talking to a class of special needs seventh graders.
Strategery.
They not only are they effing up their words or making up new ones wholesale, but their cadence is condescending, and it's as if they're speaking to a group of semi-buzz NASCAR fans at best. They slow it down.
Right.
They get super deliberate. They dumb it down. It's this lowest common denominator. It is, look, here, let me explain what you're supposed to do with a speech. You're supposed to write the goddamn speech, and then you're supposed to tell it like you're not goddamn reading it.
Right, conversationally.
Yes. How about getting off copy a little bit? How about let's see the hands come out of the pockets every once in a while or come unclasped from in front of you? How about it, people? How about it, politicians?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Jesus Christ. It's insulting to intelligent people. Whenever I see any of these guys on the news, and especially our own Villaraigosa out here, it's really like he's talking to retarded sheep herders.
I don't care. He's hot.
Yeah, he's hot. He's talking to retards.
You know, we've been talking a lot of baby talk, baby names. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting baby story. At a Los Angeles fertility clinic, parents are paying around $19,000 to pre-select the gender of their baby. So far, 2,000 parents have used the service. According to the clinic, gender preferences are evenly divided. Americans and Canadians prefer girls. Indians and Chinese parents want boys, and Latin Americans are split.
So there is a culture that wants women.
Yeah, America and Canada.
Wow. We just want to have sex with them. I don't trust us. Or maybe it's just we're trying to save money on college.
Well,
you're
lucky because you're having one of each. If you had to choose, would you have wanted a boy or girl?
Well, I think about it. You know, your first impulse, I think, as a guy is, oh, you want a son. And then my nephews come over and proceed to beat the F out of each other constantly. I mean, and if they're not beating the F out of each other, socking me in the groin. Whereas the girls want to sit down and play. Let's play tea. Let's have fake tea.
Right.
By the way, give those kids some real tea. Fake booze, fake heroin. Give them the real tea.
I'm with you. For my whole life, I've always wanted a boy. And then just in the last couple months, I've suddenly decided I think a girl would.
I would pay 19 grand for a girl.
Look,
when I
was 11, I was jumping off, you know, apartment building roofs into neighboring pools and stuff like that. I mean, I was holy hell, and I couldn't imagine having, you know, you could have a little evil Knievel on your hands, or worse, just a out and out felon. Have the little girl.
Exactly.
And let me say this. I know this is not going to sound great. Son goes gay. Woo. That's tough. Girl goes gay, you dodged a bullet. Girl goes lesbian, you dodged a bullet.
I would love him just as much.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
That's right.
In entertainment news.
Starts caddying for Brusca. And by the way, that should be euphemism for lesbian.
What is it?
Caddying for Brusca.
Yeah, it's a euphemistic.
Listen, I don't want to say anything about Tammy, but I think she's been caddying for Brusca.
It works well.
Do the math. Never had a boyfriend. Short hair. German Shepherd. She's definitely caddying for Brusca.
In entertainment news, you may have heard of O.J. Simpson's new show. It's called Juiced. He pulls pranks kind of like on Punk'd.
Can't wait.
It's going to be good. I think it's been
long enough.
Yes, it's going to be available on pay-per-view. And here is O.J. doing one of his pranks, trying to sell his Bronco at a used car lot.
The difference between the Bronco and the Explorer, you going to debate this with me? Broncos are they're noted for their durability. It was good for me.
Yeah.
Got me out of harm's way.
Just sit.
Okay, I'll sit in it.
Just sit in it.
I mean, even there was a dead body in it.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's no bodies in this thing. I actually drove this car once, and some cop shot at me. But the engine is impeccable. And I can guarantee you the car has escapability.
Well, look, if we can make a movie about 9/11, O.J. can have his own reality show. It's been long enough.
The nation is healed. Yeah.
But what is it like, you know, like Jamie Kennedy when he does his pranks, you know, he's like, you just got X'd. And Ashton Kutcher's like, you got punked.
You got juiced.
He's like, you got stabbed.
I think it's you got juiced.
You got juiced. You know what I love most about the Jamie Kennedy experiment? Is the first season when he'd jump up and pull his fake mustache off and yell at the person, you just got X'd.
What does that mean?
You got X'd, dude.
I got what?
I don't get it.
This is going to run in 6 months. You haven't been on the air yet, but you got X'd.
What?
Where's it going to run?
You fell for it. That's how you do it. It was fun. It's like the show wasn't on the air yet. No one knew who this guy was and what show he was talking about.
You know who's not laughing at Juiced? Fred Goldman, if you'll remember Ron Goldman's father, doesn't think it's very funny. And O.J. claims he's not making any money because if he did, he'd have to hand it right over to the Goldman.
He's the Raleigh Fingers of grieving parents. He really just looks like Raleigh to me.
It does a little bit.
Yes. And yeah, that guy. Poor. I mean, look, whatever you want to say about OJ, Nicole, whatever. Look, when you take up with a rich guy, you don't deserve this, but things happen.
And sometimes you get yourself into a situation you can't get out of. I know that sounds horrible. What I'm saying is the Goldman family, this guy was just doing a solid. He was just returning some eyeglasses, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that was wrong place, wrong time.
Yes.
For the second straight year, Eva Longoria tops Maxim's Hot 100 list.
Ugh.
And I know you hate her more than life itself. One of the sad things about the list, Angelina Jolie, number 4. And then Jennifer Aniston. Right. And then Jennifer Aniston, number 99.
Wow, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah, and also in the top 5, Jessica Alba, number 2, Lindsay Lohan, Angelina Jolie, and number 5, Stacey Keibler.
Mm.
I don't want to give this short shrift. We have to go over this tomorrow in detail. Mm-hmm. It's another outrageous list.
Well, of course. I like Keibler.
Look, I have nothing against Eva Longoria other than I've had an impacted ass full of her over the last 2 years. She's not fat, she's tan, and she's cute.
Right.
She has nice skin. That's enough. She's not the most talented actress in the world. And, you know, she's petite and cute and nothing wrong with her. She's not old and she doesn't have bad skin. She's fine. She's not the hottest chick in the land by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know if she has Satan for a publicist. Why does she have to be at the top every year? And there's plenty of chicks that are hotter than she is around.
By the way, I think I was the 101st, so I didn't quite make it. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
There's a great deal to get to, but I'm going to be as brief as possible in hopes that at the end of the show, Teresa is going to sing her introductory song.
Take your time.
That's going to be terrific.
More about Chichu.
Quickly, though, extra large game tonight in the Valley of the Sun. It's Elton Brand, Corey Maggette and company in Phoenix to play MVP Steve Nash, the Duncan Gorilla, and the Phoenix Suns. Series is tied at 2. Huge game. The game 5 is always significant. Mm-hmm. Good news for the Clippers is looks like Chris Kaman's going to be playing in that one. And it's also good news, I think, that the Dallas Mavericks are now up 3-1 on the defending champion Spurs. Less experience on part of the Mavericks means whoever gets to play them probably has a very good chance of going to the finals. Can you imagine the LA Clippers in the finals?
It'd be nice. I've always been a huge Clippers fan. I mean, you've seen me wearing the jerseys, waving the banners. You've been
set a bad example.
I've always been down with the Clippers.
Even before they were in LA, Adam was a fan.
When they were in San Diego?
That's your connection with...
I mean, San Diego. Sure.
You and Eugene in Spain. Always been huge Clippers fans.
Huge Clipper fans.
Yes. National pastime. The good news is Dodgers, Arizona Snakes, Giants all won. More good news. Barry Bonds still homerless. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Bad news. Padres lost. However, they're still in first place. So keep your chin up. And lastly, let me bid farewell to Doug Flutie. He's retired after 73 years in professional football.
Yes.
And everyone's he's a hero to so many people. I've said this about David Eckstein. I've said it about Jim Abbott, the one-handed pitcher. I know a lot of people exalt him and say, look what he did, the diminutive little guy. He made it all this time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I say you stink, mister.
Yeah.
Really?
You make me feel bad about myself. If you're 6'5" and you have a cannon for an arm like Danny Marino, yeah, you should be in the NFL. I don't have your physical attributes.
Right.
I'm not Michael Vick. I can't run a 4.3.
Right.
I don't have a laser. I don't throw the football like a... I do throw the ball pretty high.
Right.
That's neither here nor there.
Right.
No, this guy's 5'3", and he's played in the NFL for 2 decades.
Wow.
Makes me feel like a jerk. I have no excuses.
You're 10 years younger than he is, and at least 8 inches taller.
Right, yeah. and yet
he's played for 26 teams
really
over the last 84 years.
Get the skids, creep.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Yeah, what is Flutie? 5'9"?
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, he's an athlete. We will take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll bring the Ed in the flesh from Las Vegas. Does the Desperate Housewives reviews normally, but in town with his church group. So we'll say hi to him, and then we'll be sure to leave enough room for dessert. And when I say dessert, I mean our own Teresa Strasser singing her Get to Know You song.
Ugh.
All that after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hi, this is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn. The Adam Carolla Show.
KUFO.
Ed. On the phone, Ed.
You guys got a new girl there, huh?
Yes.
What's her name?
Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi. Okay. I enjoy your reviews very much.
I like your news. You got some good news for me.
You're spoken for. You're dating someone. You just took a lady to Long John Silver's. Talk about class. Bottomless bucket of fried shrimp for Mother's Day. The Ed in studio, in the flesh.
This is a thrill.
Look at him. Good to see you, Ed.
Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Subdued, the Ed, this morning. Came out with the church group from Vegas, lives across from the Palms Hotel, wanted to see us in person. Do we disappoint physically, the Ed?
No, well, I thought I was going to be in the audience watching the show. But now I'm sitting here and I'm nervous because you sent me by this lady here. And
she, yeah.
This is Teresa. Awful, you met her earlier.
Hot, then? Young, and attractive.
I was afraid to shake her hand.
Oh.
I brought some gifts for everybody, though.
What we'd like to have. Yeah, we don't really have an audience. Not like a TV show.
That's what I found out. I didn't know that first, though.
Right. Well, go ahead and distribute the gifts.
Well, I'm sitting next to Teresa. I'm going to give her hers first. I brought her a great big Hershey bar.
Thank you.
I thought she might have been a chocolate girl, but I don't think she is.
Yeah.
Well, now that I've seen you.
Yeah. Now, the Hershey bar is not in your pants, is it? It's a regular Hershey bar.
I won't talk like that.
If I was a brother, I would call. That's what I would call my.
I brought her a book. Yeah. To say, find your soulmate.
I think I just have.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Right.
You're welcome.
Got a little something for tea. How about for the Ace Man over here? Anything for me?
I remember you said before you was touching on my hands. You said you need to wash them, and I brought you the Pearl.
Purell.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if your wife cooked good or not, but I bought you some Tom's EX.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah, I don't know if she's a bad cook either. She's never actually cooked. So the jury's still out. I can't in fact call her a bad cook. I haven't tasted any of her cooking.
And then my buddy Dave, he's a good guy. I got him some Bliss Tex and some Tom's too, because I know he just got married. Women sometimes, they make your belly hurt.
Yeah.
Well, the Ed, if you haven't heard, the Ed is our most regular caller, I would say. He's probably made the most calls to the show. And in fact, he's told us about he's with a woman who's much younger than he is. How are things going with her? You know about relationships. You have four sons yourself, right?
No, I got five. You guys always get that mixed up. It's five boys. I don't have no girls. And when I told my girl, well, I don't know if she's my girlfriend or not, but I told her I was going to ride because we come out here with the church group to go to the swap meet and to the garment district. And we're going to buy some t-shirts and some shorts and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you can't get t-shirts in Vegas.
I told her that Teresa, that's her name, she was here. And she kind of got mad.
Got a little jealous. What do you think of the show overall? You've been listening. You've now been in the studio audience, enjoying the show. What's your critique?
Well, I really like it. I mean, you guys do a lot of fun stuff. I always hear people giggling and laughing. And you know, when I first started calling to Brian, he's a real good guy. He would call and he'd say, you know, how you doing, Ed? And I'd say, I'm doing all right. And he would say, you know, what do you want to talk about? And he would be really, really good.
Yeah, he's a good
and
kid.
And you guys have good people. I seen the dead frat guy, but he's not dead.
No, deaf.
Deaf.
That's what I found out.
Right.
I thought you guys was always saying he was dead.
No, that's his potato guy.
Yeah,
that's
a deaf. What's going on with him?
Deaf frat guy.
Yeah.
Listen, the Ed, I don't mean to give you short shrift here, but we're running late on time. T still has to tee up her song, so we got to wrap it up. It was great meeting you in the flesh.
Yeah, thanks for the gifts.
All right,
thanks for the Tums.
Yeah, thanks for the Tums and the Purell.
And the Ed, later this week, you're going to have a prediction for us on the, you're a gambling man, you're going to have a pick for us on the Preakness.
Yeah, I'll be betting that. I bet every single day on something.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, here's a man that takes life by the horns, I'll tell you.
And Ed, stick around for Teresa's song. You can listen to the song.
Yeah, you can enjoy it. Tell us what you think of that. She can sing it to you. All right, Teresa's Get to Know Yourself, or Get to Know Herself song after this. we did a competition with my mom and Dave's mom, and my most smoked my mom.
Last Friday on the Adam Carolla Show, with $1,000 on the line.
How do I sign off each show? What is my word?
Mahalo.
Wow. Mo Damashek, if you're the queen of all moms.
But then, an unexpected twist.
Mo has generously not accepted the $1,000. No. It will roll over in the kitty and be worth $2,000.
Oh, wow.
Next week.
It's time to hit the books. Or at least listen a little harder. Because this Friday, someone's going to walk away with $2,000. And all you got to do to win is beat Dave's mom.
This is tough.
Will someone win the cash? Or will Mo Damashek get another chance to feed the kitty? Find out Friday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Lisa Lampanelli, comedy's lovable queen of mean. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right, running short on time. The ad is in here from Las Vegas. Hang tight. You're about to be serenaded by the beautiful Teresa Strasser with the Get to Know You song. Do you have it for us?
Yes. I went with something cutting edge. Billy Joel's Uptown Girl.
Ah, nice.
Sorry, I'm not only tone deaf, but Jerron has more rhythm. But well, I'll give it my best shot.
It is now finger popping time.
I've been living in Carolla's world. I used to work for TLC, doing home makeovers half-assedly.
Yeah,
that was me. Now I'm the new news girl. I've been living in my rye bread world. As long as anyone who's Hebrew can. And now I'm working for the ace man, unless I'm canned. I grew up in San Francisco, and when I moved here, show business told me no. You'll see I'm not so tough, just because I am now Adam's new news girl. I have an Emmy, but I'm still insecure. My mom's in Vegas, she's taking bets. My dad's up north fixing Corvettes. That's what you get. I'm the new news girl. I'll admit I go to therapy, but I think now that my ship's come in, I can finally afford some Klonopin. That's how I'll win.
Nice. You sold yourself short, baby. That was solid as Sears. And you can see the strong writing background that earned her the Emmy so many years ago.
It's not easy rhyming with Klonopin.
Yeah, you more in love than ever?
Solid.
I really like that. And when she say her mom live in Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She works at a casino.
I live by the Silverton Hotel. In 2 weeks, we're moving to by the Silverton, and we're going to be over there in a new spot. And hopefully you can stop by.
I will.
I know all the brothers love Billy Joel.
Yeah.
That's one thing I know. Yeah. I may have question marks around many things, but the one thing I know.
52nd Street.
That's right. Well, nice job, T.
Thank you.
Well, that is the show. The Ed, again, wonderful, pressing your flesh. But I'm going to need a little more of that Purell when we're done. I want to thank Bill Rancic for coming in here. Prentice, season one winner. Prentice, NBC, Monday nights, 9 o'clock. Bruce Lansky, 100,000 baby names, name of his book. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.